Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm a maskaholic.
Hi, Mike. Let's lose the mask, Michael. All of them. Come on, everyone. Mask off. If he could do it... So, what brought you here today?
Well, I lost it at Trader Joe's. I got into this screaming match with this little maskless old lady. And and I almost went all Will Smith on her.
Oh.
I mean, she was just standing there with her face fully naked. Mm. And then she called me Mask Boy.
No.
Yesterday, someone called me Masky Chan.
But the mandate, it's gone. The old lady doesn't have to wear a mask anymore if she doesn't want to.
I know, but she's high risk.
But that's her decision, though. Her body, her choice. Let's unpack this. What's really going on?
Look, I've read the articles. I've seen the studies. If you compare places that had the mandates to places that didn't have the mandates, there's really no difference. But the masks, it made me feel good. It made me feel like I was part of something. Like when gangs wear bandanas.
Yes, sir.
But why do the masks matter so much to you?
Look, I've always been average. Average grades, average job, even average height, 5'9". When COVID came around, it gave me something more. It gave me a chance to look down on people, to be better than them. I felt like a black life. For once, I mattered. And then, like, overnight, they started taking the mandates away. The one thing I had, they just took it away.
But what if you found a new thing?
I tried that. It's not the same. It's like the Ukraine stuff. I mean, I just can't carry the flag around or wear it on my face. I tried it. It's just too big.
That must be so hard to go through. Have you tried wearing a shirt that says, I'm a good person, that supports the current thing? Well, I guess we'll just have to go back to our virtue of being evaluated on how we conduct ourselves and how we treat others.
No, that's terrible.
Come on, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Besides, we can build up our moral judgments and issue condemnation over something that really matters. Election season's right around the corner.
That's true.
You know, I think we've made great progress today. Ooh, we got to clear out. Libertarian Singles has the room at 5, and they like a few extra minutes to prepare, you know, in case a woman finally shows up. Mike?
All right, Libertarian Singles group. We got a good turnout tonight. All right.
Bill Newf here. I'm a famous person, so you already know who I am. I'm just here to remind you to like, comment, and subscribe to the Babylon Bee's YouTube channel. And hit that little bell, because when you do that, I make more money. It's trickle-up economics. You subscribe, I make money, money trickles up, it all works out in the end, we're all in this together, or whatever. Boom!
All right, everybody, we are here, Lucid Libertarian with Laurianne, a late night show, spur of the moment setup. And Daniel, I see you. We were on Beyond the Mainstream hanging out, and
right,
I was in mid-sentence, and Blog Talk decided, thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Yeah, Donnie said the same thing happened to him, it happened to me, happened to you. What? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just beyond myself.
Yeah, that's what, cool, remember
man.
That happened to me on Doll's show. She didn't get hung up on, though. It was just me. So it's like somebody was at the controls and just decided to click X, you know, repeatedly. Happened
yeah.
3 times in a row. And that's the only time that happens when you get that message. Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. The only time that happens is if Blog Talk is hanging up on you or the host hangs up on you.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the host.
No.
I don't think Dottie just decided, okay, I'm going to hit X on everybody, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh. I mean, we had what Frank was on there, Donnie, Cinnamon, Pianchi.
Yeah, like anybody have any contact information for Frank to let him know? Hey, call back in. We're here, you know. Same
thing
with Joe.
Right.
Nobody could get a hold of Joe to go, hey, Joe.
you know, the only way he'll notice is if he's scrolling through Blog Talk and just happens to see that my show is on listed as live episode right now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe he will, you know? I mean, God. Surely he will.
Yeah, like I'm looking at Blog Talk's main page right now, and I'm not on the first screen of See Y'all for Live and Up and Coming. Got to scroll a bit to even find me. Yeah, so you have to go See All and then scroll down a little bit, and then you see that I'm actually on live right now. So, yeah, Joe might have to actually do a little digging to even see that we're on. Unless we try calling one of his three numbers that he calls in on to see if maybe, just maybe, he'll get it.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, only you or Donnie would have, you know, have something like that, you know. Nobody else. I don't have his Facebook or anything.
Yeah, he's not on social media. I don't have email address. The only thing I have is I've made note of his usual number, and then he has two backup numbers that he uses. Oh, I wonder, maybe you could try calling them just to see what happens. I've never tried calling them. I don't think he'd mind since he talks to you every damn week. And they're his throwaway numbers anyways. But I just wonder if they even work for anything. So I'm messaging you on Facebook right now.
Okay.
Joe's main number he calls in with. And then I don't know what one he used tonight. It might have been that one. But, I keep a list of people that are naughty and nice. Joe is in that middle category.
323. Yeah, I see the number.
He has like a sixth sense. Like if I'm giving him shit on airwaves, he seems to always know it.
Yeah.
And call in shortly afterwards. I heard that.
That's
all I gotta say.
I mean, that's like Donnie. Donnie said he's got like six numbers that he calls in on.
And then, let's see. Yeah, I have three of them noted so far. So he's He likes to stay elusive. And
right,
then
right.
This one as well.
Is there any way you could call him? He would much rather hear from you than me.
Oh, I know, but I'm using my phone to be here.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Unless I guess I could grab my cordless phone, but then he wouldn't recognize it anyways because he usually knows me as a 503 number, but my cordless phone that's with my Comcast is a 971 that I, like, never use. So I'm sure he wouldn't recognize me from that. Like, if he saw 503, he'd probably realize it's me. Because how many 503 numbers is he familiar with, right?
Right.
But, yeah, so...
Yeah, he's not going to know mine either.
That's true. I wonder. Well, actually, I am on... I did direct connect to via my computer, so it'll stay on via my computer. Just my audio is going through my phone. I could just throw on a clip real quick, hang up using my phone, and then see if I can get a hold of him real quick. What do you think of that idea?
Do it. Yeah, and I'll be here listening to the clip. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Yeah, let me throw on something that gives me a little time here. I have a plethora of options. Let's see. Yeah, I'm always, like, way uploading way more stuff than I'll ever get a chance to play. But I
that's
do
good,
it
though.
For, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh. For a rainy day like today.
Exactly. When you need to throw something on and...
Yeah, we just weren't done talking, you know? I mean, we were right in the middle of a conversation, a great conversation. And that just
and it was
everybody
just...
off.
Oof. Let me try, let's see, J.P. Sears just did one today. Let me see how long it is. Because I would definitely want a few minutes to do this here. And okay. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. This one's 9 minutes. J.P. Sears, they're causing food shortages. He just did this one yesterday, I believe. So I'm going to throw that on, hang up with my regular phone and see if any of those three numbers that I have for Joe works and see if maybe we can rope him back in.
Right, right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay.
You don't
Hopefully
see a
they
non,
work for incoming calls as well as outgoing, so
what?
I don't know. I don't know how his cell system works.
You don't
He's
see
got,
a 989
like,
for Donnie, do you?
Nope, it's just the three
okay.
of us right now. Or you and I, and then
yeah.
Kathy on the other end if she's listening. All right, so I'm going to play this. They're causing food shortages, J.P. Sears, away we go.
All right.
Food shortages are coming. Why are they coming, and what's causing them? We'll have all your answers in tonight's special Food Shortages Report.
These people are absolute morons. They believe everything I say just because I say it.
The winner of the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden, announced that along with record-setting inflation, a destroyed border, an impending war with Russia, the Afghanistan disaster, and his Nuremberg Code-violating pharmaceutical agenda, food shortages are the next phase of his Build Back Better plan. Take a look.
With regard to food shortages, yes, we did talk about food shortages.
Well, that definitely wasn't English. Let's hear more.
And it's going to be real.
It's going to be real. You heard it here, folks. Food shortages are coming your way. But why are there going to be food shortages? Well, always a stellar example of self-responsibility, Biden is blaming Russia for our upcoming food shortages. Once again, Hunter's dad is telling Americans it's Russia's fault, as it is with rising gas prices, inflation, and his dementia. That is 100% all there is to know about the upcoming food shortages that you get to look forward to. That's it. We swear. However, some dissidents who are unwilling to submit to our kaleidoscopy narrative believe the food shortages are being planned and deliberately caused in order to control people. But that is absolutely crazy talk. Those views should be immediately silenced because they're really quite dangerous and completely unfounded. How insane. You could deliberately create food shortages in the U.S. Like, to do that, you'd have to destroy a bunch of food processing plants, and nothing like that could ever happen. These nut jobs. This just in! In just the past few weeks, over a dozen food processing plants in the U.S. have been destroyed through fires, explosions, and planes crashing into them. Huh. As we rework our narrative, here's Tucker Carlson with a ton of misinformation.
Just moments before we went to air tonight, a plane apparently crashed at a General Mills plant, a food plant in Covington, Georgia. Six tractor trailers were reportedly on fire. You're seeing pictures from the scene right now. This is the second time in a week that something like this has happened. On April 14th, the plane crashed into the Gem State Processing in East Idaho. What's going on here? Well, the story gets weirder. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire. A couple of days ago, a fire destroyed the headquarters of Azure Standard, one of the largest organic food distributors in the country. At the end of last month, a fire severely damaged a fresh onion packing facility in South Texas. In Oregon, a potato chip processing plant to support a boiler explosion that sent workers to the hospital. Now, what are the odds of that?
Well, it turns out the odds are 100% because it happened. But it's not what you think. As the most suspicious president in U.S. history warns of upcoming food shortages, and then multiple food processing plants are destroyed, this certainly isn't happening intentionally. It turns out the food facilities catching on fire, exploding, and having planes crash into them is being caused by climate change. How's that for a rewritten narrative? Next up, as food shortages are definitely not being deliberately caused, and we swear this is just a coincidence, completely unrelated. We're happy to report that a narrative of an avian flu pandemic is causing millions of chickens and turkeys to be killed. What does that do to the food supply?
It makes it much worse.
Oh, that's interesting. An avian flu pandemic.
That sounds just as scary as the one we've been trying to scare you to death over for the past 2 years. But this one is definitely severe, and they can tell, because they're detecting the avian flu using PCR tests. In spite of what the inventor of the PCR test says, you, as an obedient believer of our narrative, know how accurate they are at diagnosing viruses. Now, with a full explanation of what's going on with food processing plants being destroyed all over the place, and millions of poultry being killed due to a global chicken pandemic, here's your emperor.
And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
Whoops! Kind of sounded like he said, increase more rapidly food shortages, when he said, increase more rapidly food shortages. Probably just a typo.
I don't think it was a typo. It wasn't written. He said it out loud.
Let me ask you a question. Do you care about your wife and children?
Yeah.
Of course you do. So just remind yourself of that next time you're tempted to open your mouth. As we prepare for food shortages in the U.S. that Russia is doing to us, to be fair, there have been starvation periods throughout history inflicted on people by those who are trying to establish themselves as dictators. In 1921 and 1922, Vladimir Lenin's famine starved 5 million people to death. From 1930 to 1932, Stalin's famine starved between 5.7 and 8.7 million people to death. From 1958 to 1962, Mao's famine killed about 45 million people. Amongst other evidence that shows these famines were deliberately caused by the dictators, the whole time Mao was actually exporting grains for profit instead of feeding them to his people. But that's how droughts and famines work. It's also weird how food shortages and communism just coincidentally go hand in hand. Now that is insanely evil. But a dictator destroying independent food production so they can monopolize all aspects of the food supply so they can have complete control over the population? That could never happen here. This just in! Saying that could never happen here is the exact mindset of denialism that keeps the door open for things like that happening here. Whatever that means. But truly, that kind of thing could never happen here. Because the state and the authoritarians who run the state don't own the food supply. Bill Gates does. He owns more farmland than anyone else in the U.S. Why? Bill probably just wants to be a farmer for a while, because he's trying to control people through computer programs, tracking, and forced injections. And recently, Elon Musk said of America's favorite farmer, in case you need to lose a boner fast. Well, it worked, Elon. I haven't had one since I looked at that picture. Kind of looks like Bill needs to go on a bit of a famine himself for a while, doesn't it? But if you're so paranoid that you still think the very altruistic authoritarian state dictators are intentionally sabotaging the food supply in order to have complete control over the population, then just take matters into your own hands, buy some real estate, and grow your own food. Except you can't, because BlackRock is buying up all the real estate at prices far above market value, and the Fed is funding BlackRock. But that's probably nothing. That's it for tonight's special report. Enjoy the food shortages. Bon appetit.
Ha! What I was saying is, I'm incredibly frightened by the rain. That's why I want to thank Primal Life Organics, the sponsor of today's video, who helps me be less scared of the rain. Why won't you work? All right, I'll be honest with you. The Primal Life Organics teeth whitening kit, it doesn't like completely eliminate your fear of the rain and thunder and lightning, but it does whiten your teeth very dramatically. Maybe the red will make my fear go away. I think this is what Bill Gates uses to control the weather. Now, personally, I won't use any other teeth whitening system on the market. Here's why. I have natural healthy values, which means I don't like to put things into my body that are toxic, and I certainly don't want to use teeth whitening products that are toxic and also damaging to my teeth. But unfortunately, that's what most teeth whitening products on the market... But most teeth whitening products on the market use harmful peroxides that actually damage and denature your teeth while also being negative for your body. And as you know by now, I do not like things that are unnatural, like rain and thunder and lightning. Nothing to do with nature. But Primal Life Organics helps put all my fears to rest about having an unwhite smile. I just use it 3 times a week, and it helps dramatically whiten my smile while helping me stay aligned with my healthy values. protecting this temple. If you want to beautify your being by whitening your teeth, then just go to naturalteethwhiteners.com/JP. And at that link, Primal Life Organics gives you a full 60% off. Enjoy.
Alrighty, hello, hello, Pianki. I know you're on. I unmuted you while the clip was playing. And then we should have Daniel on.
Right.
And hey, why Pianki. The hell can't I get my chat to work? That's what I want to know. Like, I'm refreshing and refreshing, and the chat at the bottom does not come up for me. I don't know how to make that
sleep.
Come to life.
Everybody's asleep.
Everybody's asleep.
Somebody told
I mean,
me
like,
to, somebody told
I
me to call in and I could pick up some brains.
Pick up some brains.
Brains. Zombie movie time. That could be a good subject. Are you guys into zombie movies?
You know,
I used to like
watch...
to look at them.
Yeah, that when that Walking Dead came out, man, I didn't miss a freaking episode. But I'm not really, I guess, into zombies.
I am a pretty big fan of zombie flicks. Although this Walking Dead, the last season, I've just kind of not been into. It just seems like, yeah, they already know it's like it's had its run or something, and they're just, I don't know, this current season I've just been really struggling to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Well, you got
yeah.
to admit the Zuckerberg, Adam Schiff, and the guy that played on Game of Thrones, it's something going on with them. They kind of look like
yeah.
like androids yeah. or something.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it possibly, I don't want to say alien DNA, because, I mean, these, the way I understand it, they were here before we were. We're the aliens to them.
They're trying to have sex with us and mass consolidate us into a whole planet of zombies.
Right. See? Can't be good.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it's like half the country already is, or half the world already is, like, in the process of being zombified, you know?
Yeah, at high up levels like the people y'all are talking about. I mean, with tons of money. I mean...
But you know, you have to admit, Elon Musk ain't too bad of a guy. I see him in... Kanye West is hanging out. They list themselves as being homeless because they don't own cars. They pretty much down to earth.
Yeah, yeah. And they speak to the American people, and we understand them. I do.
Yeah,
really
they
well,
not.
You know, somewhat,
yeah, I'm
you
still kind of critical of them, though. I mean, this is the same guy developing Neuralink and. You know, it's like, can't help but think he's on board with all the transhumanism.
Oh, that's just, transhumanism is kind of like the, what's that other religious organization? Oh,
Scientology.
Scientology.
Yeah.
See, I never understood that either. I'm not sure. I mean, who do they worship? Is it a satanic type religion or?
I don't think so. They used to have glass cases on the side of their building with a Bible displayed, and every day they turned the pages. So you walking by, you could stand there and keep abreast of what chapter and book they're in.
I've never fully understood it either, but I know Tom Cruise is a notable name.
Michael Jackson and them was in it. His family was Jehovah's Witness.
So was Prince.
Prince became a Jehovah's Witness, yeah.
And I totally miss Prince, man. He was musician beyond all others.
I used to like the Jehovah Witness. They'd come to my house and start walking down the walkway, and by the time they got midway, I turned the sprinklers on, man.
Oh, my God.
Boy, I'd get them, too.
Turn the sprinklers on.
That is, I don't want to say mean because it's funny, but I don't know what
well,
it is.
Well, it was hot. They
it
could
is
use a little.
Mean.
They could use some
mean,
cool
right?
water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, they might have needed
and on
to
top
fill.
Of
let
that, I wouldn't
you
answer the door.
Let me while you walk across my yard.
Yep. The Bianchi baptism, though. Yeah.
That one black lady, and I was talking to her, and we got into a discussion, and she said, "You mean like me?" And she took off her glass, and she had blue eyes, natural blue eyes. Kind of scared me a little bit there for a second.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, she had blue eyes. But, you know, it's not, well, I guess it's kind of unusual, but first time I ever seen. Oh, it's
yeah.
dark complexion with blue eyes.
I mean, what is that, like 1%?
There wasn't no contact either.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare thing for somebody that's black to have blue or especially green eyes, you know, unless
yeah.
they're wearing contacts, you know.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Those are recessive genes, you know, the blue eyes, green eyes, hazel eyes, those are all recessive genes. Brown eyes are the dominant gene. And so that's why, you know, that's why if you have two parents with brown eyes, you know, the kid's going to come out with brown eyes because there's two dominant genes there. If you have somebody with brown eyes and somebody with blue eyes, then there's a 1 in 4 chance that the child will have blue eyes. It's just
now,
the genetics
but you
of
know,
it. With recessive genes
you know, Daniel,
versus dominant genes.
And Laurie, mm-hmm. you remember the scenes on Star Trek at the bar scenes? Everybody there looked different kind of species and things. Some of them have
yeah.
hammerheads,
yeah.
like a hammerhead shark and
uh-huh.
all like that. That's probably
yeah.
how it's going to be one of these days.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. And I don't think it's
you know,
that
there's
far
a new
off.
There's a show on Apple Plus that I just started watching that's kind of interesting with Jason Momoa is in it. You know, Aquaman, and it's called C-S-E-E. And the show is about like a couple thousand years into the future, and in our time a virus comes, and as a result of this plague it kills off everybody except like 2 million people, and the survivors all are blind. And so a couple thousand years later, there's only been blind people. So it's like back to being like tribal communities and stuff, and they're all blind. And so and it's the interesting part about it is that it's like a myth. It's so much time has passed by that it's a total myth that human beings actually used to have eyesight. And then Jason Momoa's character, he gets married to this woman that comes into the village, and they don't know much about her, but she's already pregnant, and she has twins, and both of them have eyesight. And the real father is a man with real eyesight. And the queen is targeting people as witches, that they're heretics if they say that they have eyesight. They don't believe that they can actually see. It's impossible to see, right? And it's also against God because God took our eyesight away. And so if they actually do have eyesight, then they are the bringers of evil because it was eyesight that made man become so powerful and destructive, and that's why eyesight was taken away. And and so it's really pretty interesting. I think I'm on like the fifth episode, I think, of it. There's two seasons that are, you know, typical, I think, 10 episodes per season. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is a pretty interesting concept. And, you know, and so, like, the queen has this one servant of hers basically spending the later part of his entire life trying to find both the father, the heretic that has eyesight, but nobody believes that he has eyesight,
yeah,
and his two bastard children who also could possibly have eyesight and be heretics and be the children of the witch, which, you know, obviously the woman is considered the witch. And so so the whole tribe has to, like, move around and try to run and not be discovered and stuff until the children grow up. And the father left a chest of books instructing the Jason Momoa's character and the mother to wait 12 summers before opening up the box for the children. And so the children turn 12 and they get a hold of the books and they learn to read and they learn all these concepts from these books and stuff like that. And so it's like, and it just keeps going on from there. So it's really kind of an interesting take on things, like, you know, and it's just so funny. Like, it's, you know, again, it's a period, you know, our present right now was all because of a virus that killed off all but 2 million people. Hello, you know, Agenda 21. And, you know, and then the survivors didn't have eyesight, which of course obviously limited, you know, the stuff that they could build and the stuff that they could do. You know, like, if you're blind, you can't fly a plane, you know?
yeah. But
you can't see where the hell
never...
you're going.
They never embraced it as a blessing
from God. You can't build a ship because you can't sail in the middle of the ocean. Yeah.
Why didn't they embrace it as a blessing from God? Maybe he did take their sight away at one point in time, but, you know, he destroyed the earth at some point in time, you know, and as a lesson to us all, don't be evil.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, now it's, you know, so long into the future, and it's just representative of, like, you know, how the truth gets lost after a long period
yeah.
of time, so that it literally becomes a myth and heretic to claim that you have eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's simply not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you could, it's very realistic. You could kind of see, you know, how that can happen. And
yeah.
then there's another show that I was watching called Foundation. It's a sci-fi show is
mm-hmm.
Foundation. It's a sci-fi show, and it's based in the future, and, you know, there's, you know, humans on all kinds of planets, and of course there's, like, an empire type of scenario that rules the entire universe. And again, this is so far in the future that they don't even know where they came from, and they think that it's just a theory. It's just some people say we came from this planet called Earth that
uh-huh.
they don't even think actually exists. You know, so Earth never really existed, or it's questionable. It's just a theory. And that's where their origins are and stuff. And so, like, and again, we have this repeat of these shows saying, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 years into the future, what is truth right now, complete fiction, you know, and that's the suppression of the truth.
Well, yeah,
as far as our own origins.
That's a problem with our own history, though, too. As of
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. It's so reflective of that.
Yeah.
So reflective. Like, how the hell do we really know what happened 3,000 years ago, 2,000
exactly.
years ago? How do we really know?
Just like that
how
civilization,
can we really be sure?
Tartaria. Have y'all read anything about that civilization? was in Russia, and they became so smart that they were on the fringe of interstellar travel. You know, they were their minds. They used a lot more than 10%. Of course, that's what I'm trying to say. And they were taken out by extraterrestrial entities that didn't want them to accelerate that far, to ascend to that point. So they took out their civilization. And it came up out of Russia. It ended up on the U.S. West Coast. There are a few buildings. But it is totally been hidden from the world. Tartaria. And there's a great documentary.
I've never heard of it. I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
Yes, yes. There's a great documentary
now. If you have a documentary, send me a link to it on Facebook Messenger, and I'll check it out.
Okay, cool.
I love
cool.
listening to new theories like that. You know, like I said, I mean, it was only, what, maybe a month ago that I saw the story about, you know, there's an entire ace continent under the sea that discovered it is actually a continent. An entire continent under the ocean. So it's like redrawing all these maps, you know what I mean? Like of what we know of what our continents are. And with that, you know, we can only go down so far. And so it makes you wonder what civilizations existed on that continent. You know, they think it was like millions upon millions of years ago, long before man ever walked the earth. But how the fuck do they know? That's maybe what they think, but, you know, you don't really know, until you can get down there and you can start digging under the sea floor where that continent is and start digging stuff up and start seeing, you know, I mean, in salt water, bone can be preserved longer, you know what I mean? Like bones preserve longer in seawater. Especially deep down where there's pressure and there's not as much, you know. So, I mean, if there was ever human beings on that continent, there would be the ability to find bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so deep beneath the water, I think like 30 meters. And if you had a cut and it started bleeding, the blood would look green. Because red light. Yes, because red light. Spectrum of red light can't penetrate that far underneath the water.
Wow.
Yeah, blue light is
the
spectrum of light that can go the furthest. But even that has its limitations, and then it's complete darkness.
Right. Then I was watching this a little video on this man and woman, and they were living on a boat. A sailboat on the ocean, and they was fishing, and they caught this fish, and they brought it up, and it looked like a rainbow trout, but it turned green, then it turned blue as she held it there in her hand. So there's some strange creatures down there. How would you like to live on a sailboat, Laurie?
Not a sailboat. Maybe a nice big yacht like that Russian oligarch that has like the biggest yacht in the freaking world. I would do that. I'm not a sailboat though, but I would totally have a yacht like that and be like and have a great old time.
It ain't no fun when they get that big. You want a small one that's got solar panels and it's got a electric motor and.
Yeah.
Got an ice box, a DC refrigerator. Those are pretty neat too, by the way. Those DC refrigerators.
Well, you know that yacht can fit a sailboat within its docking area. You can bring the sailboat with you.
Yeah, but that damn thing is too damn it's prohibited to damn operate. Then you got to have
only
a crew.
In shallower waters, but that's why you have the sailboat and another boat that are in the docking quarters. Like that thing is so huge, you can fit like another, like I think something like 40 foot boat to like two 40-foot boats or something, or 50, in within it. Like, that's how huge this thing is. It's like its own cruise ship. And it can fit that kind of stuff, you know? So it's like you could bring that crap with you, and, yeah, you got to dock way out, you know, because you're so big, you know, and you can't go into shallow waters, but then that's why you have those boats in. And then it also has a separate parking area for four, like, you know, Ski-Doos or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but that's cheating, man. Come on.
That ain't cheating. Still living on the water. And big enough not to sink. And too easily, anyway. A big wave isn't going to totally knock you over.
Hey, was it Donnie or one of y'all maybe sent it to him or something, but he played something about in one of the Russian seas that a group of scientists or whatever went underneath the water so far, and they ran into like four or five people, but they weren't with them. They were from underwater. They live underwater, obviously. And
what were they doing?
They were just floating up to see whoever was coming down. You know, I guess if they were going to be aggressive or, you know, whatever. And I think the story went, I wish Donnie would come on and play it, but I think the story went that one of the people, you know, coming from topside did try to shoot at one of them or something, and the one he was trying to shoot at used some kind of freaking propulsion, some kind of I don't know, but it pushed everyone, all I think it was five of them, five of the ones that were coming down to check things out, you know, that pushed them out of water and back up, you know, back up to the, and a couple of them died, you know, because they were so far under. What, did you get the blood clots or whatever? Is that what happens?
The pressure.
Yeah, you get the pressure sickness in it. Yeah, and it causes all your blood vessels to start collapsing under the pressure.
Yeah, but these people
like
underwater, you know, they looked human. I think Donnie, the video said they had some kind of, you know, high-tech swimsuit on, you know, that was protecting their bodies. I guess just from the cold.
They must have been related to Neptune or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but it was one of the coolest things, that coolest videos that Donnie said, because, I mean, this stuff happens, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and
you know. That's why I really think that, you know, aliens have been here all along. They predate us.
Mm-hmm.
When Earth was in an entirely different state than it is now, and I fully think that it's very, very possible that there is an inner Earth, something that we have no idea about because we have no ability to measure it.
Right, or we can't get
to go that
it
far deep and go.
The clowns
Antarctica. Like, water aquifers, like a whole ecosystem, a whole different kind of light source. It's just, we have no idea what's possible down there is all I'm
saying.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it there's probably a completely and totally different ecosystem and everything. You know,
mm-hmm.
like the movie Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. I think that is actually more possible than it is fantasy. I think that it's fully possible. We have no idea. It's only a scientific guess as far as, you know, what lies beneath us. There's only so far we can measure and only so far we can dig.
And it's funny that Antarctica, you know, and I watched a video today about is Antarctica a continent or whatever. Well, you know, people talk about, well, my son vacationed in Antarctica and my cousin took a tour on one of the cruise ships. Well, the guy did the research. He said these cruise ships, and there were like 10 different agencies, all owned by the same man or the same individual, male or female. His wife just happens to be closely tied into the U.S. government. I'm just going to say the niece of, I'm making this up, the Department of Defense Secretary of the Department of Defense, or, you know, something like that, really tied up high. So they've got every cruise ship, every kind of little vacation you think you might be taking, it's government tracked, it's government owned, it's they.
Well, what isn't?
Exactly.
You know, really.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
My own nephew spent three winters here. Our winter is Antarctica summer. He spent 4 or 5 months, 3 years in a row down there working at McMurdo Station, research facility down there. It's all research-based and stuff. You know, and he went well in because, you know, they would transport stuff from some of the satellite mini bases scattered about and things. And, you know, so he definitely has personal experience down there in Antarctica, and he's not government himself. You know, he's Mr. Fix It.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And they did show a lot of tents around, you know, it looked like government buildings, you know, of people that they do bring down to, you know, let them mm-hmm. see Antarctica, but, you know, are they seeing
yeah,
what
he's
Admiral
part of the
Byrd?
Work crew. You
yeah,
know,
are they seeing what Admiral
generators,
Byrd?
You know, mm-hmm. one of the satellite offices, their generators on the Fritz, or some other electrical thing. And my nephew is one of the people that, like I said, he's a Mr. Fix It, and like if it's electronic or just about anything else, he can fix it. And so that's what he did, you know, for several months at a time down there, going from, you know, various, you know, satellite outposts for research and stuff to fix their generators, fix their vehicles, bring supplies, all that kind of stuff.
Did he ever
see
those?
Yeah, but the buildings.
Go ahead.
The buildings they built 5 years ago just about covered up again with the snow and ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they always have to, he always had to come back by no later than April. Because by May, it's too cold down there. It's very few flights can come in or out. Basically, if you're there, if you're not out of there by mid-April, you're stuck there, you know, until again in like October, you know, before flights can resume because, most flights can resume because it's just too cold. Few lines freeze up. Nothing but ice and storms and wind and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, very, very few flights make it in during the Antarctic winter,
mm-hmm.
which is our summer months.
Well, that Admiral Byrd, I don't know if anybody read excerpts from his diary and stuff, but once his plane, and he drifted off from the other two planes that were with him that were filming the whole time. He went over this one mountain range, and his ship was taken over. You know, all the controls, everything, and he started to see woolly mammoths. He mentioned woolly mammoths and trees and foliage and fauna, just everything. And it was due
to what took
to,
it over?
Aliens, non-terrestrials.
This sounds like the story of a researcher that went over the North Pole, and all communications were lost and stuff, and all kinds of bizarre stuff happened, and all the stuff that he saw that nobody else saw because he drifted off like 200 miles off course or something.
Right.
And it's
right.
like he described like a vortex, and there's very detailed journals on this. He like wrote like every day, very detailed journals. He was like almost neurotic about it, writing in his journals,
yeah.
and they were very, very detailed what he saw. And that was going over because they wanted to go to the true North Pole. And there was like a perimeter around it that made all the flight controls go batty and lots of storms and stuff like that. And it's almost like even still nobody flies through there because it reminds me of like Wonder Woman's Island, how they portray Wonder Woman's Island and how it's protected, you know, by all these storms and thick fog and lightning and stuff. And so that way, you know, ship nor plane would want to go into that area because it's always like that.
It kind of reminds
me of that with his account of what he saw and stuff. And then, but he got through it. And when he did get through it, he literally saw, I mean, like Pandora, with like the floating islands and like a whole tropical thing with all different kinds of vegetation that he'd never seen before.
Right.
Mammoth-like. He said mammoth-like, but not mammoths, but mammoth-like creatures.
It was a crystal city that it was a material he had never seen before. And he went down. Go ahead, Bianchi.
It's a physical location there in the North Pole where you can stand. You would be at the theoretical true north. And you could just walk around in a one-foot circle and you would walk around the world.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy.
Yep. Pretty much.
but him and his radio man were able to go down and meet, you know, he said these non-terrestrials, you know, looked human or whatnot, the ones that had landed his plane because they had no control. They landed his plane, they took him down. They took him down into the earth.
Yeah, autopilot.
Yeah, yeah. And he met with the guy, and the guy referred to himself, and others did too, as the master. And that's when he had the talks with Admiral Byrd about, you know, hey, you know, this nuclear stuff y'all have going on, you know, y'all have got to stop this. Y'all are going to destroy yourselves, you know. I want you because you are an honorable man and you're a just man and a good man. He said, that's why we picked you. He said, because we knew this stuff. He said, take this information back to your world leaders and tell them, you know, you're going to destroy yourselves, you know, if you keep going down this road. And I don't know that they cut some deals with him. They would do certain things for him, but of course the government covered up everything that he said. You know, these excerpts from his diary are just now getting out. I mean, and it's just,
they were sealed from being open for like at least 50 years or 60 years or something and finally coming out.
And there's something in Antarctica because John Kerry and Obama and who knows have taken trips down there just recent in the past couple of years. It's almost like they're getting advice or directions or something, instructions from somebody that they answer to. So,
You know, and the North Pole is directly correlated with the South Pole. I mean, you know, so the South Pole, the very true South Pole is also another vortex on the polar sides. And then that's kind of like the entrance, you know, two different entrances to the same inner Earth.
I know there's sub portals.
Yeah, like that's why the pyramids were built where they were. Stonehenge was built where it was. Why Washington D.C. is set up where it is. You know, there are like mini portals in high energy spots. Hawaii is another one. That's why there's so much research around Hawaii. Hawaii is a huge, huge portal. That and the Mid-Atlantic Ocean. The Mid-Atlantic Ocean, though, is so challenging because, number one, it's pretty cold, and number two, it's so deep, you know, and you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no bodies of land to rely on in any reasonable distance. So we know so little about it, but the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, I mean, that is the biggest mountain range in the entire Earth. The biggest, largest, deepest, longest mountain range is in the smack dab in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, deep within the Atlantic Ocean. You know, it's just, it's unfathomable to think, like, what's going on, you know, down there. Like, it would just, can you imagine if we had absolutely no information on something the size of the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon combined? Underwater, and have, you know, and like if we had absolutely no information about that area at all, hardly at all, you know, and just be totally blind for the most part because it's
don't
so
deep.
Don't
we have those submarines that can withstand the pressure now or not?
Not all the way, no. Not all the way, no. It's so deep. It's so deep. At the heart of it, that it'll crush submarine depth as well. There's almost nothing that we have currently that can actually go that deep. They can go to some areas, some of the higher parts. Like, okay, you know, we're at the right around the top of Mount Everest. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still, like, you know, 20,000 feet below us.
Right.
We can't, at least that we know of. There could be more. We just don't know, you know, because it's too deep and there's not even light or, like, everything is different at that depth. Light is different. Sound is different. Because the pressure and the temperature and the lack of oxygen, just the whole cosmetics of that deep down into the ocean is so different.
That's a different world.
Yeah, that it's, you know, we literally don't have anything that can puncture through it and still make it.
I find that crazy because of all, you know, we do have a lot of good technology.
Mm-hmm.
No vessels can go down there. Matter of fact, some submarines, what they do, they take a string and they tie it on either end of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Then they measure the sag in it as it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Because the outsides come together. But if you bring a fish, you catch a fish from down there and bring them up, you explode in your hand. Poof!
Yeah. So I get. Who was that calling?
Yeah.
That's mom. That's mama beeping in. Y'all talk for about 2 minutes. I'll be right back. What do you want to add? Yeah, that's mama. Hang on.
I finally figured out how to get the chat open. I had to refresh my screen again and then click on chat, and then it finally loaded up the chat screen. So I guess my browser or something just doesn't like, you know, it needs a few jump starts to get going to get the chat up and running. I don't know.
It's a lot of strange things in the world. Well, see, I say under the ocean, so that would be a different world, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I think there's an entirely different world. Then I was watching, and I wish I could remember the documentary that I was watching. I wish to God I could. And I've tried to look it up, and I haven't been able to find it. But it was about how we were talking about how history can be erased, you know, the destruction of history and what really happened for an agenda and stuff. Well, it was this documentary, and it was showing that the theory that something – really, really major happened around the globe somewhere around the mid-1600s, mid to late 1600s, that this seems to have been completely, like, wiped off the face of the planet. Like, there, you know, some clues have been left behind or whatever, but, like, something major geologically happened around that time. Like, they dug up maps. They found these maps that were made by explorers and stuff, and, you know, mapping the Northeast, and all of these maps, several of them by different people mapping, different explorers, mapping the area around, like, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, what we know now, you know, in southern Canada, around the Great Lakes area, that whole area, right? And these maps are missing, entirely missing, the Great Lakes. This documentary was showing several examples, like I said, different times, you know, these older maps from various Indian tribes, whatever, of that area, and several different tribes of people, several different maps, and finding that the Great Lakes, like, it's like they literally did not exist. And why would anybody making a map not map these huge bodies of water as they're walking around the shoreline? They're going to want to map that shit, right? They did not exist in these maps. And so several of them over the course of, like, the previous 100 years before that, from, like, the 1500s on up, maps that they found that, you know, that do not show that the Great Lakes even existed. And that's why they think something major happened, because it's only after that certain time frame that you start seeing maps show up that reflects the Great Lakes. So they think some major shift in Earth, and not just here in America, but there was, like, a, you know, there's evidence they were presenting, like, worldwide, that shows there was some kind of massive shift on Earth somewhere in the mid-1600s that is completely wiped out of history. For whatever reason, they're hiding this major shift. And then, and so that starts getting you paying attention too to, like, you know, some of these discoveries of, you know, civilizations underwater and stuff like that, or you start finding certain things, and it's just like, you know, there's just, like I said, I wish I could find this documentary because it was really very compelling, and I meant to save it, and I think I lost it and just couldn't find it in my history. But it really presented a lot of very intriguing information supporting the idea that there was some major global thing that happened in the mid-1600s that's been suppressed for centuries from worldwide, from governments worldwide, suppressed any knowledge of this. And it coincides with bans on people learning how to read and write. Only the elite can learn how to read and write. How, you know, if you start looking at the occurrence of that, like, throughout Europe at the time and throughout all kinds of countries around the globe, around the same time, they had similar bans, like only certain people could learn how to read and write because they didn't want them to be able to even come upon anything that existed before this situation happened, not be able to write about it, not be able to tell about it. Some major, huge shift. And it's all questionable what exactly that shift was, but it was enough of a shift to literally, there used to be no Great Lakes, and then suddenly, within 100 years, maps start showing Great Lakes.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Not from millions of years ago, but only the mid-1600s. It's really an interesting thing, and I wish for God I could find it. I have tried several times to dig that thing back up again because I wanted to download it to save it because it was so good. I was like, I really want to check this stuff out. You know, like, is this really far-fetched? Is this really crazy? But, like, the more evidence that they presented from around the world that lined up with this theory, it got me really thinking, like,
well,
it's
really
possible.
The International Dateline used to be down the middle of the Great Pyramid. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, then they moved it 15 degrees to the west to where it is now in Greenwich. Because there's maps, there's a book called The Map of Ancient Sea Kings, and an old ancient map, a cartographer, he grew what would be indicative of longitude zero would be was down the center of the Great Pyramid.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at our own time zones. Our time zones aren't straight along the path, right? They zigzag all over the place for convenience.
Yeah,
you know, we don't follow the straight path. And so that's what they did with the International Dateline, too, is they made a more convenient path instead of the truth path.
Yeah, a couple of places do. Then there's True North, then there's Magnetic North, which is usually lagging behind to the east.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Because the magnetic's spread out. If you think about it, like, when you put the two same end magnets together and it pulls apart, you know, it takes a lot of force to be able to actually touch those two magnets together, right? They usually don't actually touch because they're, you know, two negative forces to going together. So they're not going to touch. So it pushes that force away in between them. That's how it works. And so magnetic north would be different than the true north. True north is the smack dab center of the magnetism, right?
Yeah.
The magnetism that's pushing out. It's going outward.
Well, it shifts because the mantle of molten metal, you know, beneath the earth shifts it around a little bit. So that causes the magnetic
mm-hmm.
force to shift too. We used to learn,
exactly,
to
but the dynamic still remains the same. Even if true magnetic north or actually true north shifts, the magnetics will also correspond around it. You know what I'm saying? So even if we have a big shift and pretty soon the North Pole is in, I don't know, Spain.
It
still have the same dynamic where the truth, there'll be the true center and then there'll be the magnetic north where there's like that magnetic field around the true north. Because of that energy kind of pulling away from it, like the two ends of a magnet trying to force them together, you know, and they don't actually touch.
I heard a guy on a video, and several guys, but especially this one, tells that the real North Pole is what we've been calling the South Pole all these years, and the South Pole is really that's as far as magnetism goes, and I don't understand a lot about magnetism and magnetic fields and this and that. But just because Antarctica's at, you know, point south, you know, that doesn't mean it's the South Pole, you know. They said as far as the Earth's magnetism and how things work, our South Pole, what we've been calling South Pole, is the North Pole, and vice versa.
Maybe that's what happened in the mid-1600s. Maybe there was a huge pole shift, and yet, you know, everybody that went north still went north. You know what I mean? Like, just because the pole shift doesn't mean that the stars and everything shift the way they used to be able to, you know, the way they judge time, you know.
True.
And, you know, they looked at stargazing and the movement of the star constellations and stuff to be able to, you know, determine location and things like that. So, you know, time wasn't, you know, I mean, so let's say there was a huge pole shift, and of course that would create a lot of changes in the Earth, like mega storms and shifting of things, flooding, whatever, and it would be dynamic enough to support the idea. Because then this documentary also brought up how during that time there is evidence to show that there were huge die-offs of human populations, usually explained by, you know, some plague or something. But around that same time, there was, you know, mass casualties going on around the world. There's evidence of that. And so, you know, and that might be part of what's being suppressed is like what really happened. You know, did we have a pole shift? And what we think of north is actually south, because sometimes in the mid-1600s, there was the pole shift and everything went to hell. But there's like the cabal.
Yeah.
They don't want people to know the truth. They want to disguise it. They want to hide true north. They want to hide the true vortexes, you know.
Yeah,
and when those vortexes shift, when those vortexes shift, they don't want anybody knowing about it. And they will suppress that information like it never happened.
Well, if the poles shift, did ducks fly the other way for the winter?
I don't know.
If
they're depending on magnetism, but they will shift their migrations. It's already starting. We're already seeing migrations of whales and dolphins and birds starting to shift. They're leaving their traditional mating places where they, you know, have gone for hundreds of years, leaving them and finding new ones because the planet is changing. They are already shifting their migrations. And that's what's leading to the kill-off, because they're not always successful finding a new place to set up shop. And they die in the process doing it. And that might explain the huge die-offs of all of this. You know, you've seen it with whales, and we've seen it with dolphins. We've seen it with all kinds of these die-offs happening, and, you know, and it's been documented how their migration habits are starting to differ, how groups of sharks are starting to wander way off of their usual migration path, you know, and I think that's because this shit is shifting. They're trying to adjust, and not all of them are going to make it in the process.
Well, you know, where I used to live, in late September, October, be outside, and you could hear geese flying above as they would migrate to the south. You could hear them quack, quack, quack.
Oh,
geese,
yeah.
Boy.
I remember at Canadian night. Geese. Those suckers are loud. A whole flock of them flying overhead. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but these would be up in the jet stream. They go up, they fly up to the jet stream, and they ride the jet stream down toward Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the hitch a ride, that is. And you can hear them. You know, it'd be quiet, and you hear them come along, going, they honking, honking. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, here in North Alabama, I mean, they're still headed south, you know.
They should be headed north now, going back toward
true.
Cooler weather.
There has been record migrations of whales up and down the West Coast. Not sure if you guys have read records amounts this year of whales, whale populations coming up in this migration. So something's happening. Something's happening. Whales are congregating around here instead of where they usually go, because the flocks have become actually larger. But the mainstream media and climate change people want you to believe that they're dying in droves. But, you know, it's not because they're dying in droves. It's because flocks from elsewhere are coming here to the West Coast for a reason. You know, something's happening. And It's just and now we're seeing evidence that it's larger populations. And so, yeah, we're going to see die-offs because our local coast that's used to X amount of whales migrating and, you know, all the fish and everything that they eat along the way, now all of a sudden has to support twice the population from all these migrating other whale pods, and it can't sustain itself. And so, yeah, then you're going to start seeing more whales washing up and more deaths than normal.
Skinny whales, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to start seeing more baby whales dying because the mothers aren't eating enough to feed their babies and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to start seeing more of that. And like I said, it's you know, read it. I'm not making it up. This is like a record year for different kinds of whales migrating on up the West Coast. It's actually pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's your region. Yeah, I believe everything. Yeah. You were about to say something about the South maybe, or I don't know what you were about to say. But
no, the in the wintertime, they – around October, where I was standing in Missouri, you could hear them flying at night, especially the full moon. And they'd be up there in the jet stream.
Flying south, yeah.
Flying south. They hitch a ride. And then, of course, they change it. It go back north when the sun started creeping down to the south, where it's a little cooler for them.
They know where to go. That instinct.
This planet, the way this planet is set up.
If I have to drive off because there's a natural disaster, I'm like watching the skies for the birds. Where are the birds flying? That's where I'm driving. You know?
I hope you don't fly. I hope you don't follow no cuckoo birds. Cuckoo bird.
Cuckoo.
But no, that it's interesting to study nature like that and the things that go on with butterflies and bees and
yeah.
The geese and the ducks. Of course, the ducks don't travel like them geese do. They've seen geese up 50,000 feet. It's cold as heck up there.
Yep.
Plus, you need oxygen when you get up to 10,000.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they can adapt.
So what type of planetary changes do y'all see going on now, not political and just, I guess, physical?
Well, Antarctica. We were talking about Antarctica. There has been, over the last 2 years, a string of major earthquakes happening below Antarctica. You can look it up. It's true. And they believe it's because, you know, there's hot magma coming up and it's looking for places to release. There are several what are considered extinct volcanoes that might come back to life. And if you've also been seeing in the news, the climate change people have been saying, oh, you know, the ice is melting at such a record rate right now. Snows are melting in Antarctica. Ice, you know, all these huge ice things are breaking off, and it's all because of man-made climate change. No, it's not. Guess what? If there are extinct volcanoes that are starting to come back to life, if they've been having all this earthquake activity and there's volcanoes, and you got hot magma rolling around under the surface trying to find an outlet, guess what's probably going to happen?
It's
going to start to warm
well,
up,
what,
for, you know, and ice shields are going to start melting, and you know what I mean? It has nothing to do with man. You know, it has everything to do with the fact that, hey, for the last 2 years, coincidentally enough, you know, there's been all these earthquakes and a rising temperature in the Earth crust, indicating that there's magma floating around underneath Antarctica waiting for a spot to spout, you know? So it's like an eruption is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
Dion. And then, too, if you have on the sun high levels of sunspot activity, there's going to be less sun rays that's being radiated, so things are going to be a little bit cooler. Those are natural events that happen.
Missed,
only you can control them.
Literally, in the last 2 weeks, we just missed one of the biggest solar flares in the last, like, 200 years since solar flares have been recorded. We just missed one by nine days. We missed a direct hit. And it would have completely
nothing on the mainstream
wiped
media.
Everything out. It would have wiped out everything. This thing was huge. Huge. It would have been huge if it hit us. And if it had happened 9 days sooner, it would have. And we would be back to the fucking Stone Age.
I believe something like that has effects on human beings,
don't you? 2 weeks ago.
I believe those solar flares and that solar magnetic field has something to do with human beings getting them all screwed the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
You think it has something to do with the shot?
Have you also noticed how the aurora borealis has been coming down further and further south? It's been, like, in the news lately, like, the aurora borealis, people seeing it all the way down in Nevada and shit. Well, that's a sign of this huge solar flare that we just missed by 9 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. It created the aurora borealis coming as far south as Nevada. That's why.
That's
and, like,
right.
This just
that's
happened. Like, I'm not making this shit up, I tell you. You know? It's crazy.
Yeah. Not,
and
yeah,
you didn't
no, I
see
read,
it in
I
the
read
media.
About the flares making the borealis or aurora borealis, but I didn't know it came that down far down.
Yeah. Yeah, they went as far down. There was people in Nevada that saw it. Yeah, and it normally never comes down that far. It has to be a pretty big solar storm to make it come down that far south.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in springtime, you know. Middle of winter, maybe, mm-hmm. because then we're more pointed to the north, you know, our tilt is up there, you know, more. But, you know, in April, by April, it's got to be a pretty significant solar flare to cause aurora borealis to be seen all the way down in Nevada.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is crazy.
And then Verizon went out. Remember that? Verizon had a huge outage.
They said Australia and Southeast Asia, Australia was a total blackout. And Southeast Asia, this was Wednesday, this past Wednesday, when I think the first of three or four flares had come in, storms had come in, solar storms. And that to me, they said they took
it's
them a couple days to fix it.
Still the after effects.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this thing doesn't just, like, hit it once and then roll off, you know. I mean, we're still at the effect of it. We're, like, at the tail
end.
And
India.
You know?
I saw India. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where India got shut down.
Well,
people,
if one of those
the media
huge,
and our government does not want us to connect these dots.
If one of those huge asteroids passed close enough to the Earth, it might suck off some of the atmosphere. Then what would happen? Atmospheric pressure would drop. We might explode. No telling. I don't know.
Yeah.
Planes
NASA wants you to believe that if an asteroid doesn't come in at just the right angle, then it's just going to skip off the Earth's atmosphere and no harm done. That's a complete lie. You know, when it's like a head trauma. You know, we have this fluid around our brain, between our brain and our skull, so that when we knock our head, our brain doesn't get damaged from being bumped against our skull, so we have this buffer. Well, that's our atmosphere. Our atmosphere is our buffer, you know? And so if a meteorite comes along and smacks you in the head hard enough, it still might bounce off, but you can't say there's no harm done. You've already cracked the skull, right? You've already cracked the skull. You know? So even though it bounced off, you can't say there wouldn't be any harm done. I think an asteroid, even if it bounced off, a big enough asteroid, if it bounced off of our atmosphere and went back out into space, would still create a lot of freaking havoc. A lot of havoc.
Or
in our atmosphere, big time.
Yeah.
It'd be like fire in the sky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably wipe out a huge section of our ozone. Because our ozone, you know, yeah, I mean, it would get burned up. That impact would create a lot of heat, and that heat would burn up a lot of our ozone and wreak
a
lot of havoc.
Too, who knows?
We would have a huge, yeah, it could bounce and hit the moon.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, you know, that affects the moon, and the moon affects our tides, so you fuck with the moon, you fuck with our tides.
Damn.
And the moon doesn't have the atmosphere we do, so the impact would be, I mean, you know, a lot more of an impact, a big enough one, and yeah, a huge chunk of that moon could come down, and then here we go. Now we got even more asteroids.
Yeah, for real. God,
yeah,
or like half
the moon coming down on us.
Right, the northeast quadrant of the moon is about to land in the Atlantic Ocean. Okay. Not good news.
Like, yeah, we're dead.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it can still happen. But like I said, it's like, excuse me. I just took a bong hit, sorry. This is called Raspberry Parfait. And it's pretty good.
Raspberry Parfait. What do you think, Bianchi?
I'm learning things.
I'm learning things, ain't we all?
I know, like sometimes, I don't know, I post some of this stuff on my Lucid Libertarian page, and it's not really all that political, but then it is, because like this is stuff that gets political because they don't want you to see these connections and these dots. They don't want you to know how close we actually came to annihilation. You know, it was just, you know, 9 days made the difference of this huge, monstrous, biggest solar flare. And, you know, you got to think about it, the biggest one in 300 years. Well, 300 years ago, we didn't have electricity all over the fucking place. You know what I mean? We weren't dependent on all of these electronic devices. We weren't dependent on electricity for heat and for cooling and our refrigerators and all of that stuff. You know, and it's like, and it would fry the electrical grid. And right now, if that solar flare had hit us directly, if it was 9 days sooner, then right now we would be in a state that we have never been in almost overnight. I mean, meat would be rotting right now in the stores. Anything that was in the freezers or refrigerators would be rotting by now.
Yeah.
So
well, it's like taking
absolutely
a wire.
Scarce. It would be absolute pandemonium.
It's like taking a coil wire, passing it through a magnetic field or a magnet, and it induces current through it. But a solar flare, a huge magnetic field that it is, would produce current that would overburden, would be beyond the capacity of those wires, even your high tension wires, and they would just burn up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your electronics in your car
would blow,
burn up.
Generators would blow, anything. Anything and everything would blow. And it would be
a very
time-consuming thing to even get even basic infrastructure back. It would take years.
People got hard pacemakers. They're going to quit work. They're going to burn up.
They're not working. Yeah, they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Overinduction of current. And they tiny wires too. And if they burn up the wires on your transmission lines, I forget what gauge those are. But they're not that big of gauge because they carry high voltage. And it's AC voltage. But this would be direct current that would be coming from the solar. They would produce direct current that's coming from the solar flares. So it would go in one direction and heat up. You got AC current. It changes direction. And during that change, it has time to cool down a little bit. So we'd be walking around the dark, Daniel.
That's what I was thinking. In the dark. We would be in the dark.
When we was kids, we had a cemetery literally not too far from our house. And it had the high tension wires that came from one of the powerhouses, which was about 25, 30 miles away. So at night, we'd get some old fluorescent tubes. Fluorescent tubes. I don't know if they were old or new. We'd get them. And we walked through that cemetery, and then we saw waving that fluorescent tube around. It lit up underneath those high tension lines. And we'd be like fighting with Star Wars, you know, with lightsabers.
I know that's right. I would be too.
Yeah. I tell you what, if you take a CB radio antenna on the back of your trunk, you know, and you hold a fluorescent tube close to it, it'll light up. And that's how we used to tune our radios. You raise it up, you raise the rod up and down, and the brighter the light gets, that's the optimum position, and that's where you want it to be. Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's something cool.
But that's neat. And, you know, some people live near them high tension lines, and you find them having high incidence of cancer.
Exactly, Bianchi. That's what goes on around here because we've got, like, the nuclear power plant, plus we've got the two dams that are doing hydroelectric, you know, power. The Brown Ferry nuclear.
Well, you think I'm kidding? Take a fluorescent light tube and go underneath one of them, see it on it light up.
Yeah. I'm talking about, you talking about those big power lines that are, like, set up on
off the towers,
It runs in remote spots. Four different,
mm-hmm.
And they have, it has been noted, it was even noted even back in the Native American days. They called the Tennessee Valley, which we live in, the Valley of Death because there's just so much sickness in this area for some reason. It wasn't electricity then, but it was something else. Maybe
you ever go in one of those powerhouses, coal-fired powerhouses, where they have tubes that carry water. And those powerhouses, that furnace may be four stories high, five stories high. And you can go inside of them when they shut them down to clean.
Yeah.
And you have what they use, they take coal and they pulverize it. And they blow it in and they light it. And sometimes they may use oil, too, or mist, in order to create the combustion. Well, after a period of time, when the time comes for maintenance, they'll open those doors and let it cool down. And you would have had coal stalagmite that would form on the tubes, look like a giant wasp nest. And they take shotguns and they shoot them down.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they would. You can't, because you can't work in there because one of them things fall down and it'll kill you.
Yeah.
So
you got to
blast before they go
off.
Before they go in,
they
open up.
You got to haul them away somehow.
Well, you can chop them up, but before they go in, they go on different floors, and they open the doors, and they shine lights in there. If they see one, they shoot it, and it'll fall to the floor. Then when they get them all, then they can go in and start cleaning up.
I mean, was this before hazmat suits and stuff? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, did they just bust in there?
Well, yeah. And then, too, on the furnaces, man. And then boil in those powerhouses, you go up to the top floor, to the very top, and it's coal dust up there. It's hot as hell. You walk on those pipes. Those pipes may be like 5 foot in diameter, and steam is going through them. Come off the top of the furnace, and they would channel it down to the turbines there on the ground floor. And you could walk on those, you know, we'd walk on because we put platforms up and something up there at the top.
Yeah.
And you could look down where the insulation comes to a rod that supports the pipe, and that pipe is cherry red. And sometimes pigeons will get caught up in there, and they petrify. It just, you find a pigeon, and he'd be in a pose, like a,
yeah,
just petrified.
Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God. That's crazy. But true.
Yeah, it'd be, it's hot as hell. And matter of fact, it'd be so hot, you go out on a tar roof to cool
Pianchi,
down.
Pianchi, you need to do a segment of just, you know, Pianchi's crazy but true. Yeah, segment.
Yeah, all the stuff he built and all the stuff he's seen. I mean,
Crazy but True by Pianchi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and coal dust be on them pipes, man. You come out of there, you be pitch black, dirty.
Breathing out
the wash up. We had, well, you know what? We have masks on. To keep them breathing.
Well, yeah, because those particles will actually get blocked by wearing a mask, you know.
Yeah.
And
and then,
you know, masks are proven to be effective against having coal dust breathed into your lungs.
Yeah.
Unlike viruses.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Then they'd have these testers that would suck in some of the air, then they would go put it on the microscope looking for the best of fibers in a certain, so many millions per given time. If it got beyond that count, then it would be too hazardous to be working in that area. So what they would do, they would come out.
Reminding me of Coal Miner's Daughter. You guys have seen Coal Miner's Daughter, right?
Yeah, yeah. Came on the other night.
Yeah, with Sissy Spacek and playing Loretta Lynn. Yeah, I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. I know all that. Yeah.
Them coal miners,
I think,
got,
you know,
two heads.
And if you look up the history of that, like Sissy Spacek and Loretta Lynn, like they were tied to the hip. They became really good friends, and Sissy Spacek really, really trained to not only speak like Loretta but sing like Loretta. And then Sissy Spacek actually did her own singing in that movie. And she's not known for being a very good singer, even though she's a great actress, but not really known for much of a singing ability. But, like, you know, you got to respect Sissy Spacek for, you know, really devoting herself to playing Loretta Lynn and doing her justice. And Loretta Lynn was always, like, really super, you know, proud of her and, like, yeah, and always said that she can't imagine anybody else playing her in a movie, you know, than Sissy Spacek. So you got to, you know, respect to Sissy Spacek for that, because she really, really worked hard to play that role with justice.
Yeah, like the Joaquin Phoenix and Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Joaquin,
yep,
didn't he sing? I never saw the whole movie.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, yeah, like you got to respect stuff like that, you know,
uh-huh,
where it's not like, you know, I'm just dressing up and going to do my best. And, you know, no, they actually, like, when an actor actually puts that much effort into it and they're playing the role of a true person, and that true person is even like, you know, I couldn't have acted myself better, you know. I mean, that's literally, like, along the lines of what Loretta Lynn said was, you know, I couldn't have played myself better, you know.
Yeah,
that's what Spacek did, you know. Like, and they became true friends after that, too. I mean, they always stayed in touch and went to each other's social gatherings and shit like that. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where that movie really established a good friendship between them, and that, that goes to show things, too, you know, and it's just, and Loretta Lynn was one of those true country artists, you know, and she still is. She's, you know, she's one of the legends that are always going to be, when you think of what true country is, you think of people like Loretta Lynn, you know, like Patsy Cline, like Dolly Parton. You know, you think, you know, when you think of women in country, you think of them. Huh. Nobody can sing like Patsy. Hers is a voice that will never be able to be replicated, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I mean, there's just, nobody can do her justice, really. People try, but they never do.
Yeah. You're right.
Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to some of her songs.
Yeah, Patsy Cline died in a airplane crash while she was touring. And yeah, and Loretta Lynn was like her opening act and stuff, and you know, sang with her and went on tour with her and stuff, and it had a really big impact on Loretta after that. Yeah, so it's kind of, yeah, you have to check out Patsy Cline, some of her classics. Her voice is just so, like I said, there's nobody will ever be able to replicate her, ever. Her voice is so unique, and then the way she sung, her inflections, you know. The little tiny nuances in her voice that she sung with, you know, even this crazy. You know, people can't really repeat, like, the nuances of how she sings every little tiny phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And an alto kind of voice, too. She's not one of those high-pitched, you know, singers. She has that naturally low voice, alto voice, and does such a good job with it. And Beverly D'Angelo, too, same thing with Coal Miner's Daughter. Beverly D'Angelo did essentially the same thing. Like, she's, you know, she couldn't work with Patsy Cline, obviously, because Patsy Cline was dead. But Beverly D'Angelo playing Patsy Cline, she spent hours upon hours upon hours just viewing every single possible thing she could, every interview, you know, performance, anything that she could, with Patsy singing live and getting, you know, getting her accent and trying to sing like her as well. So Beverly D'Angelo, got to give her credit too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's our homework, Dan. You know, go listen to some Patsy Cline songs.
Yeah, you know, I know a couple songs, but I need to dig a little bit more. Get the whole story down, you know. I know Mama really likes
Patsy Cline.
Yeah,
she's an interesting character. Yeah. Oh yeah. If somebody says they like country music and they don't know who Patsy Cline is and hasn't heard of her, then they're a faker. You know, if you're gonna say you like country music, you better fucking know who Patsy Cline is, and you better know some of her songs.
Yeah,
you know what's one of the over there in Ghana, West Africa. You know what some of the favorite music is? Country and Western. Those people
really
play a lot of country. Yeah, they play country and Western music. Love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And love fried chicken. Is that who don't love fried chicken?
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah.
Oh, they like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, they like to get. I've seen Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants in some of the remotest places when I was in Egypt. We'd go to Egypt. And lo and behold, there'd be a Kentucky Fried Chicken place.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
And Kentucky Fried Chicken coleslaw today is nothing like the Kentucky Fried Chicken coleslaw of like 20 years ago. Not the Kentucky Fried Chicken that
it
I grew
so
up with.
It was so crisp and had a little sweetness to it, right?
Yeah, and the tartness, and it was made. Now it's like slop. It's like cabbage slop, and it's flavorless. It's like what? This isn't. This
well,
isn't
the chicken
Kentucky
is terrible
chicken,
too.
Salsa.
You know.
Yeah,
chicken don't taste like they did when we was kids, man. I'm older than you guys. I remember when chicken was good, but nowadays, ugh.
Well, even when I was a kid, I'm 49. I mean, I remember when fried chicken was actually good at KFC, and now, yeah, it's like, again, it's like, what? It's nothing like it used to be. Nothing
right.
at all. The
nothing.
Breading is
nothing.
Different. The seasoning is different. The ingredients are different. It all just tastes so, it makes me sick, actually. I usually get diarrhea. I never used to get diarrhea, you know, but last time I had KFC, which was about probably at least more than 6 months ago, like within 3 hours, I was on the toilet with diarrhea. After eating KFC.
Yeah, damn bacteria.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't think I'm going to have KFC again for a while. Yeah.
It could be the poison.
Kind of turned me
off
to that idea.
China's been feeding us, or whoever's been
food
feeding
poison.
Us.
Oh,
our
yeah.
government's been feeding us. That's who's been feeding us.
Yep.
Trying to
there's
whittle us down to
subsidies through
500 million.
Their regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, what
yeah.
the heck time is it? You ain't going to be on the it floor
is.
In the morning, are you? We got to go to Sunday school.
It is 11 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, I hate to get off and knock you out of an hour of your show.
Yeah, you only got 1 minute.
Well,
and four
I only
seconds
threw it
left.
In at the last minute because we all got cut off.
You got 58 seconds left. And it's going the British lady is going to sing. So, with
well,
that,
that's
I'm getting
the
ready
live
to leave.
Broadcast, but I still should have the additional hour. That's because I'm Pacific time, so you know I still have my 2 hour show tomorrow as usual, but it's still Pacific time for me, so it's still today's show. So I'm not like, you know, it won't affect me for tomorrow's show.
It
or
didn't
anything.
Break into your yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's still 11 o'clock my time here, and the live show is going to end here in 35 seconds. So if Joe wanted to call in, he's going to be too late.
Yeah.
Joe's asleep.
Oh, yeah. He got hung up on and said, I'm just going to curl up and go to bed.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm headed, too.
But, yeah.
All right. Well,
so,
I'm going
mean,
to see you
just,
guys.
You know, I wanted to just throw this together because... You know, we all got cut off, and
yeah, I'm glad
so
you
I
did.
Thought, oh, I'll just throw in
I
a last-minute episode.
Mm.
I'm going to play some Patsy Cline and fall asleep. So I'll see you guys later.
Ooh,
what
you know
what?
It wouldn't take me long to upload something since we're still on. I could throw up some Patsy Cline.
What do you got to do tomorrow? You see, that's the problem. You in the West Coast, here we are in Central, 2 hours
yep.
difference. Yeah, and we'd be up, look, she'd still be sleeping, Daniel. We'd be up trying to stay awake.
I know it. Yeah, well, we've stayed up, I know, 4 a.m. before, and that's our time, though. It'd still be 2 o'clock her time.
Yeah.
But I just can't.
We'd be
do
struggling
it
to keep woke trying to get something done, and she'd be in the bed asleep.
I know it, yeah.
I know.
But what time is the show tomorrow night,
I understand.
Lorianne?
But it'll only take me if you hang out with me for just a second. I'm literally downloading the audio right now of Patsy Cline Crazy. And then it won't take me but another minute to upload it. And I'll risk violating Blog Talk term of service of not playing copyrighted music. And
yeah.
But at least we're off now. Like even the So nobody should be around to complain. Okay, looks like it's done. Select file. Go to my downloader. Open. Song. Gotta give it a name. I'm crazy. Upload. I know I got a show tomorrow to do too, but you know, hey, it's Saturday night, and I'm better than Saturday Night Live. Damn it! All right, let me refresh my page. Cause I always got to refresh the studio, or the clip will not show up. And let me zip down to make sure it's there. Song, Patsy Cline, Crazy. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, here we go.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I? For thinking that my love could hold you, I'm crazy for trying, and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy for thinking that my for loving you.
So what do you guys think?
That was perfect.
Yeah, it brings back memories. But I'm still going to bed. I'll see you guys.
Hi. Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget about my show, 6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. I will
awesome,
be there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know I will be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. But I do.
And
I have my friend work on his car today,
too.
So... Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'll hit you up on Facebook tomorrow.
Yeah, send me the link to that documentary that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I've already sent it.
Oh, okay. I haven't
sent two of the videos to through Facebook or whatever, through Messenger.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I just haven't looked because I was looking at the switchboard and la la la. And...
Yeah, yeah, and just from videos, because I've done it, I went to the person that's doing it, and he's a younger guy, and yeah, you can get to the rest of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right on.
But
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah, check out one of them and see if you're into it, and we can do a show. You can do a show, and I can be there. On Cartania, because nobody's ever, as a month ago, I'd never heard of it, and now it was this ancient civilization that was just so much beyond where we are now, as far as ascension and the non-terrestrials knew.
Yeah.
That, you know, they would do so. I don't know. You'll just have to check it out. I've
got
to listen.
Yeah,
to
you got
myself.
Me curious about that. You got me curious
yeah.
about it. I'll check it out. Yeah.
I mean, it's real good. It's real good.
We had a good talk tonight, though. It was a
so.
Good on-the-fly show.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, it was bad that, you know, what happened on Donnie's show, but for you to think fast like that and add 2 more hours, you know, of talk time was everything, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, maybe do it again, you know. Like, hey, I'm your backup.
Yeah.
You know, if this happens again,
right.
then, you know, throw a show
uh-huh.
together on the fly. Because like I said, I'm like, I haven't used my 2 hours for today, so put it to good use. Let's throw on a show and
right.
try to continue
yeah, as long
the
as we
conversation.
Don't get into your... mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted Donnie to call in, because he wasn't talking much there at the end, you know. And I didn't know
yeah.
what that was about, you know. And, I mean,
well, I think
we just
got into the conversation, and he was just kind of listening to the back and forth going on, because we're talking
yeah,
about the student
yeah.
loans and stuff, and me and Adrian, mm-hmm. and Adrian was asking me questions, and, well, I think she was asking them to me, and so I was answering, and
yeah,
then
and
Frank, was it Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Was Frank the other caller? Yeah, and then he was asking questions
yeah.
and stuff, and so we were all, like, getting into that topic, and yeah, so I think, and then all of a sudden, poof.
Boom.
Yeah.
yeah. It was
boom.
Dead, and everybody's
like,
what?
Did not want to talk about solutions to the student
right.
loan crisis.
And I think a good idea, too, you know, I know you've got a couple of Joe's numbers. You know, we've got Pianchi on Facebook. I can always call Donnie or whatever. But we need to get, you know, some contact, you know, info here from some of these people in case it happens again and they do want to, or at least tell them what you did, you know, hey.
Yeah.
She got a show going in 2 minutes from the time. You know, they kicked us off of Donnie's show.
I have my own plan.
Just,
so Saturday
yeah.
night, his show ends. I got my
mm-hmm.
2 hours available. So long as I
right.
set it up for mm-hmm. by 9 p.m., you know what I mean? Then I
yeah.
can fit
yeah.
my show in, and that goes to my Saturday time, not my Sunday time, which is my normal show. Like, I'm not going to fuck with my Sunday time.
Right,
you
right.
know, but... I got unutilized Saturday time, and I literally don't want to do a show on Saturday nights because of Donnie's show. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to compete with that. I don't want to have one going on at the same time. And,
right.
you know, so I don't want to set one up, but yet it could be a backup. Like, okay, if
yeah.
we're going to do be on for like 4 fucking hours, then part one could be on his, and then part two could be on mine. Okay, everybody, call
in
go. This one, you know.
You know,
and we'll have the
Donnie's
part two.
Could be, mm-hmm, yeah, there you go. Perfect. And we need to tell them, though, you know, so that way they'll be looking for it, because I'm sure Frank would have called in. I don't know Frank that well, but he's pretty cool, seems like it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like one of those things like, hey, we all got cut off. Was it just me? Like, I didn't know if the show was still going or not. That's why I messaged you. And I'm like, Yeah. I just got hung up on, was it you? You know, is everybody else still on, you know?
everybody was
apparently
gone.
Cut everybody out. Yeah.
Everybody.
I'm like, holy crap and shit, you know? And so I'm like, let me throw an episode on. Maybe
I'm
they'll notice.
You.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it went down, yeah. It truly went down. Everybody got kicked.
Don't forget to bring that up for next week's show for sure. We'll talk about that next week.
I
mean, like,
that
if this
good.
Happens again, look for Lucid Libertarian, because I'll
yes.
fire up a show on the fly and
right.
pick it up where we left off. You know, I have to do it at half-hour intervals, you know, so
right.
if we get cut
right.
off at 8:15, you know, then the earliest I can set up a show is 8:30.
Hey,
you know.
Yeah, right. And yeah, that'll be perfect. We just need to let them know if and when it happens again. Everybody, this is protocol. Look for Lucid Libertarian, and we will continue.
Yeah, and I can
where
fire up
off.
A show. I can get an episode created in 5 minutes and schedule it for the next 15-minute interval and be back up and running and. Just continue it, and then I got 2 hours available for me on Saturday. I'm not planning on using them.
Right.
I can be the backup. That's the nice
perfect.
Thing about having our own individual plans and not being on somebody else's plan, you know, because it's like, I got 2 hours available to me every single day, you know.
Oh, really? 2 hours every day?
Yeah. For the $40 a month, I have 2 hours live broadcast plus the bonus hour for the recording, so a total of 3.
Yeah.
And I have that every day. You know, the time I got booked is my Sunday show, but other than that, it's open. So I can do shit on the fly if I want. That's
well, cool.
the nice
I mean,
thing about
and,
it.
Hey, that's what Donnie does to me. He'll call me Monday at 3 o'clock, okay? And he'll be like, hey, you want to do a UFO show tonight? I'm like, sure, you know. And he don't have anybody's contact information. People just, you know, Joe comes on and Pianchi and you know, they find Donnie's show because they know sometimes we do shows on Monday and Tuesday night. And you could do the same thing, you know what I'm saying? If you called,
well,
you know, or hit me up on
email
Facebook or whatever.
Because I follow you guys,
so
I look for the email notifications for shows,
I'm
looking every day.
You know.
I have them go into a separate folder, all my notifications for Blog Talk shows, you know, including my own and including yours. And so I look for that, and that's how I initially click on the link, because it's easy.
If you wanted to do a
so
show
follow
on,
each other.
Exactly. All you'd have to do is we, you know, we need to get more people's contact information. You know, I hate for them to just have to look through there to, you know, find the show on air. It would be
nice
to, you know, have it already set up.
Well, I mean, I have my own list going, you know, like I've recorded your number and Joe's numbers.
Right.
I keep my own internal list and, like, the trolls that have called in, I keep a list for those and... Yeah,
that's
that
good.
Way as I see people on the switchboard, I can just flip over to it, and I have it in my Google Doc, and so I can access it from anywhere. And I can look up, okay, what's the number? It's this person, you know. And if it's a new number, then I add it, and I know who the person is and what show they were on. Mm-hmm. I'll make notes. You know, this person called
that's
in on this show. And who's a host or co-host or... You know, I can make notes like that so I know who's calling in. So, yeah, I have my own list going.
I mean, that's a lot more than what Donnie's got. He just fires up a show. It's me, him, and Cinnamon. Me, him, and Cinnamon starting out, and hopefully, you know, Pianchi and Joe will find it, you know, and call in. But if not, it's just me, him, and her sometimes.
Joe, like, you guys need to show up the, you know, set up the shows in advance so that people can find you. Because even I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, where are you? Are you having a show, you know?
I know, right.
So set it up at least a couple days in advance so people can get an email about it and go, okay, yeah, we know that you're going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, see
Saturday
what the
night.
Upcoming shows are and stuff.
Yeah. I was talking to Donnie at, it was 5 till 8 here, right before showtime, and he was still setting it up with his switchboard and stuff. I mean,
it's like, and it doesn't take long. You know what I do? I got, I have a email template that I save as a draft, and that's where I copy paste my text. You know, my general text, like if I'm just setting up a general show, I can just copy-paste the text, copy-paste the keywords, you know. And so I just have it as an email draft message that I just keep open. So when I need to do, you know, set up my shows, then I use that template. And then if I have a guest on, of course, I change it, you know, to reflect the guest and, you know, their info and bullshit. But, you know, at least for the general template, I can easily just copy paste the description, copy paste the tags, you know, and then I have the images that I upload for the slideshow. I have those all in a separate folder, so those just take a couple of seconds to upload there, and then, you know, just set up the show, and usually when I do one, I'll just go ahead and do 4 or 5 of them, you know, just to get them up there and don't have to worry about it. And I could always go back and edit it, but at least, you know, it's visible if somebody goes there and goes, one of her upcoming shows, you know that, okay, I got shows scheduled for the next few weeks, you know. I'll be here. You don't look for it at the last minute. You don't want your listeners to be trying to look for you at the last minute, you know.
Yeah, not knowing if you're going to do a show or not. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, even though they know, you know, listeners, you know, longtime listeners will know he never misses a show. New listeners, they don't know that.
True.
It's helpful when you got somebody new checking you out to go, oh, hey, I caught your show. Now I want to see what you have coming up. So, you know, they will look at, you know, do you have shows set up and do you have guests?
Yeah.
You know, and you set that shit up in advance, a few weeks in advance, and that way they got something to look at and something to go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll tune in next week. It looks like she's going to have a guest on, you know.
And just,
or at least
and that,
they know.
You know, when they do come on your main show Sunday night, that's when, you know, you could just mention, hey, you know, a lot of times we do shows during the week too. If you're on my contact list, you know, I could email you or notify you, let you know. If not, just get on Blog Talk Radio and find it, you know. Because some of those shows are just the best shows.
Yeah, that's
what
I've started to do is I've started to encourage people to sign up for your own Blog Talk Radio free account. You might never use that whole generous 15 minutes that they give you, but that's not the point. The point is to just sign up. That way you can follow the radio shows and get their email notifications and stuff like that. And you can set your email notifications like for the shows that you follow, notify me 3 days in advance, 1 day in advance, you know, whatever. You can set it for the shows that you follow and get the email notifications. And that's primarily the thing, is that's like the heart of it. But I've also posted on my page and stuff, starting to try to get it out there that, you know, instead of paying for a service to submit my show's feed to various places, I've done it myself. So I've submitted myself my RSS feed to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Ivy Podcasts, and Pandora's pending. Pandora usually takes a month to get approved. So I'm still waiting. It's still in review. And then if I'm, you know, if I'm approved, then I'll be on Pandora as well.
That's awesome. That's a lot of platforms.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to do that, and there's places that'll submit that shit for you. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't want to pay them $20 for something I can do myself. You just
exactly,
Google search,
yeah.
how do I submit my podcast to iHeartRadio? Here you go.
Right, they probably
you
have
know,
a,
you do
a
that.
YouTube
how do I submit my
it,
podcast to Spotify? Here you go. And you just do it yourself. It takes some time, but you do it. And then I finally got my issue resolved with Blog Talk because iHeartRadio wasn't validating it. And finally, Blog Talk, one of their developers, finally fixed the issue. And so now my show
good
is
deal.
Live on iHeartRadio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had to give them some pushback on that. I'm like, you know, your shit's not validating on their end, and it's your side, you know.
Yeah.
The tech
yeah.
support on iHeart says that the server is saying it's encoded one way, but it's actually encoded another. That's a server-side issue, you know.
And yeah.
You got to fix, and so they did.
Figure out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course I gave them praise and stuff when they finally figured out what the hell it was, but I had to give quite a bit of pushback. It was like a fucking 3-week battle to finally get this thing resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad
you did. So, yeah, I'm trying to do all I can to get my show up and running, you know, and do it as free as possible.
Yeah, well, it's up and running, and, I mean,
because my ass is broke. Yeah, my ass is beyond broke.
I mean, you've got, yeah, I mean, it's going for sure.
Yeah, and I haven't really been pushing for guests after the next couple of weeks, but I have done some invites. There is
yeah.
one more candidate that I want to get in for my show 2 days on the 15th, because that's 2 days before the primary, and I've reached out to a couple of candidates to see if I can get them booked for that week because, you know, that's the Sunday before election day, and so I'd like to try to sneak in one more candidate as a guest before the primary, but so I'm going to work on that. But in the meanwhile, you know, like I said, I like Amber Richardson. She's not as libertarian, to be honest, as I would like. I disagree with her on a couple of her stances, but I really do like her in the most important ways, right? And so having her back, it's awesome. She is truly grassroots. She is truly not establishment. She is a woman of action. She is a woman of conviction. And I just, you know, she and I just kind of, like, when I met her at the debate in February that was right here in town, like she and I just got along instantly, you know. The things I disagree with her about, I mean, I told her, I'm like, there's some things that I disagree with you about, but I don't really bring it up because I don't want to, you know. I don't want to confront you on these things because I agree with you on all these other things that are, you know, that are of more importance than the things that I disagree with you on.
Yeah, the minuscule stuff. It's going to matter in the end.
The shit that's not really important.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be full Second Amendment. Like, if you are for any form of fucking gun control, you lose my vote right there. You know, like.
Damn right.
And she isn't.
Damn
she
right.
is full Second Amendment supporter. You know, she doesn't want any restrictions on any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, but and she's a good person. You know, she and I relate to her. She is very much similar to my 37-year-old self. She's 37 years old, and I'm 49, you know, and, like, if you know, there's so many aspects of her that reflect me at 37 that I just can't help but like her, you know?
That's like a guy here in Alabama running for one of our state representative positions up in D.C., And he's younger than me, you know, but they do the door-to-door knocking, you know what I'm saying? And he left his number, or I thought it was one of his, you know, people helping out, knocking doors. I called the number. I said, is John there? His name's John Roberts, believe it or not, but not that John Roberts. And he said, yeah, this is John. I said, John. And I thanked him for coming around, you know. I said, thank you for leaving your number, and it be you. And it not be, you know, not be your headquarters.
Yeah, like somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
we're the messaging service.
Right. For John, well, you leave a message or, you know, no, it was him. And we talked 20 minutes, you know, and he just a great guy, you know, like this girl you're talking about, you know, just a great person. And I told him, I said, man, we're going to do everything we can. I said, I will spread the word as much as I can to get you in, you know.
Yep. I mean, the first time Amber Richardson was on my show, she is on the board of One's Purpose, which is one of the few organizations here in Oregon that are fighting human trafficking and child trafficking.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
They took up the second half of my show back when I was on Freedomizer and I had a full 3-hour live. So Amber was on the first half, and I had Jody and Rhonda from One's Purpose on the second half along with Amber. And I am not kidding you, that show, Rhonda had me in tears talking about her story. You know, she was trafficked, and talking about her story, she literally was trafficked by somebody that turned out to be a serial killer.
God.
And, and her story, like, I was literally in tears. Like, Rhonda, I'm literally crying over here listening to the story, you know, like, it's unreal. And, you know, so it was a really pretty intense show when she was first on. But, of course, it's just going
to
be Amber this time.
But that's what people need to hear, though.
But that's why I play the One's Purpose ad at the start of the show. You know, whenever I play my show, I always play the One's Purpose ad. I asked Amber and Jody if they would do a, you know, 60-second or so ad that I can play on my show, and I'm happy to play it.
Yeah.
And I don't ask for anything back. You know, I want to support you by playing your ad and having people like be aware of you, you know? And, and so that's what Amber's all about. And, you know, she literally said on my show, she's like, if I need money for my campaign, I'll ask for it. But until then, if you want to donate, please just donate to One's Purpose, you know?
Yeah.
I want them to get the money so that they can help these women out with the resources they need to get out of the whole human trafficking situation that they're in. It's really pretty intense. So, she's been doing some really great stuff, and so I definitely like to highlight her. And then, of course, I'm having Arlion Noble on May 8th. He's the Libertarian candidate and the only Libertarian candidate for governor. So I'm having him back on, and he's a go-getter. I disagree with him on some things, but he took it really well on the first show. Like, he and I had, a really good back and forth. Like, it was a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
But it was really respectful and really like, yeah, but hey this and hey that and, like, you know, but still love ya, you know. Like, it wasn't like a battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't. There was no animosity. It was just a conversation and having a reasonable and civil, like, difference of opinion here and there. And then, back to
disagree.
Another topic that we're, you know, both aligned with. And, you know, in the end of it, through this conversation, we've covered so many topics, and we had a couple of differences of opinion on a couple of them, but overall we're really aligned, you know, and
yeah, of course.
And so he's going to be a really good person to come back on too, because he's going to be the libertarian candidate for governor on our ballot here in Oregon. So
yeah,
worth having him back on the show again. And
yeah, it's a big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, you never know.
Good
like,
deal.
You know, although, you know, my personal opinion, I will say that I think, you know, he was included in a debate with the GOP candidates and the Constitution Party candidate. And
yeah,
I think he came off a little too strong. Like, he was expecting to be getting more pushback. And when they didn't give him pushback, it still seemed like he was still on the defense when he didn't need to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, like, my personal opinion, you know. Like, he was just,
those
like,
were,
automatically on
the
defense.
For
and
the
it didn't.
Debate. Yeah.
Like, that's what he anticipated. Not really what he planned, but I think he anticipated getting more pushback than he did, you know. And he didn't really plan for that, and so he was still, like, reacting the same way. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like maybe, you know, just like a, it was just like a thing. Like, you know, he is so prepared to get pushback that he just didn't really prepare to.
That's what it was. He's self-prepared for
respond
that.
In
yeah,
a different way. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my personal impression, you know, and it's nothing against him, but, you know, that I think that was good practice for him, because it was a forum where he's interacting with GOP and the Constitution candidate. And And
yeah,
I think it was his first real experience with being in front of a large group of people on this panel and having a debate. And I get the feeling since then from him that he did learn from that experience and
oh, yeah,
try to,
you know, he did,
you know, manage himself a little more, you know. But that's sometimes what you need, you know. Sometimes you need that
yeah,
in order
yeah,
to, like, look back and review it and go, okay, you know, I admit I, you know, could have handled this part better and, you know,
yeah,
go into it with
exactly,
a different mindset the next time. Yeah. So he's a guy
yep,
that'll learn from his mistakes. I get that about him, which is, again, what we need, you know. It's not somebody that makes, you know, if you're afraid somebody's going to make a mistake and so you don't vote for them, that's the wrong attitude. It's the person that makes a mistake and then goes to great lengths to cover it up. And, you know,
right,
that's the type
right,
of person you need to avoid. You know, the person that makes the mistakes, admits it, learns from it, does
it,
better.
Yeah, and tries to right
you
the
know,
wrong or whatever, you know.
Rights the
that's
wrong and proceeds learning the lesson, then that's
mm-hmm,
the person I want in office, not the person that'll go to great lengths to cover it up. And that's
exactly,
too much of what we got
exactly,
now.
Oh, yeah, that's all we got. God almighty.
We really need this change. And I think, you know, I really want to see the headlines. 2022, Oregon elects its first conservative governor since
yeah,
1982.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be awesome.
I want to see those fucking headlines. Can you imagine the ripple effect that's going to have if a conservative
yeah,
actually wins governor for Oregon? It's
or what,
going to
you
have
know,
a ripple
what,
effect.
That's great. Yeah, totally great. What about your House and Senate down there, up there?
Oh, I think the same tide is going to turn. You know, there's going to be a Democrat
good,
push there as well, but I think that we'll start seeing a turn as well, because we all know it starts at the ground level too. And
that's right.
You know, and people are fed up with it, because this far left
yeah,
agenda has infiltrated our legislature. It's infiltrated our DAs, our judges.
Courthouses. Exactly.
It has infiltrated everything, and so I think that there's enough people out there that are just, even Democrats, that are like, I cannot continue to vote for this, you know?
Right.
And
we need new faces.
Suddenly the extreme right seems like the reasonable right, doesn't it? You know, after
yeah,
all this
yeah,
far
does,
left craziness, what's considered extreme right is actually moderate. You know?
Right. That's the truth.
It's actually moderate.
That is the truth.
And more attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. The far right, yeah, is the moderate of all of them.
And the far left is normal. And that's how backwards, you know, and people are starting to realize that. Democrats,
yeah,
too, they are pissed off, especially here in Oregon. You know, Oregon is really tired of this.
Yeah.
They want you to think otherwise, but they are really tired of this shit. Even leftists are like, this is just blown out of proportion bullshit.
Right, yeah. It's been taken too far. We need to get back to
we need to reel this shit in.
There you go.
You know, sometimes you got to call in your tough daddy, you know, to bring some discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
somebody that someone will listen to. I mean,
puts their foot down and says, you know,
right,
hey, we're stopping this bullshit. And
yeah,
a story, you know. I don't want to sit here and listen to you cry about it for 6 fucking months either. We're just doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it. It's over. Let's move on to something else.
Done. Yeah, that's what Oregon needs. It needs such a swift kick in the ass. These far leftists needs a serious timeout and be put in their timeout room.
Yeah, yeah. They needed the 4 years.
Go have your fucking temper tantrums in your room and come out when you can be reasonable again.
Right, exactly.
That's what I did to my fucking nephew when he was 2.5 years old and my sister was on bed rest, pregnant with her twins. And that little toddler, man, he tested me in every single way and every single time. You know, he would have his tantrums. I'm like, go off in your room, have your tantrums, scream your head off, do whatever you're going to do, but don't come out until you can come back out here and be a reasonable kid again, you know?
Yeah, and want to play instead of screaming, you know.
Exactly. He learned pretty damn quick. I had that kid turned around within a week. You know, that kid tested me on every level, but I stood my ground. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this shit from you. Go in your room.
Right.
When you're done, come out. Then we'll play and have dinner and continue on with life, but I'm not dealing
there
with this
go.
Shit with you, you know? Yeah. And the government needs to do the same thing, you know?
Yep. Because they are acting like a bunch of damn kids.
Exactly. You know, I want everything paid for, and I want everything my way.
Oh, my God.
If I want to spray paint the whole entire city with my graffiti, I should be able to, you know.
Yeah, and they do.
That kind of shit. Mm-hmm.
Syringes everywhere. You know, it's gone too far.
Yeah, I mean, when I first moved here to Oregon, I think we were like 14 in education.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the top 3 every year for places people were moving to the most and considered like the nicest area to live in.
Yeah.
And now we've plummeted to 47 out of 50 in education. We're like in the top 3 of highest cost of living, crime rates, stuff like that per capita.
And it's due to Democratic policies, is it not?
Absolutely. It's no coincidence.
Year after year,
you know?
After year after year.
And we had, you know, we'll have 8 years of Kate Brown, and then she came in after Kitzhaber had to resign, but Kitzhaber was in for like 2 to 3 years before that happened. We've been under this and then the legislature and everything too, and it's just like, ugh, you know, this far left shit has gone too far.
Yes, yes. This is these elections coming up and in 2024, and hopefully by that time we'll have a grasp on it, and you know, they'll all be gone. Most of your far left will be gone. I truly believe it.
It'll be a sign if OAC does not get reelected.
Yeah.
If she does not get reelected, then that'll be a true sign.
Yeah. Yep.
And same
thing
with Pelosi. I can't fucking believe that Pelosi wants to, she's changing her mind and she wants to go for re-election again. Can't fucking believe that.
No.
That old fucking hag. Yeah, she said that this would be her last term, but last I heard, she was in the race again because she doesn't want to give up her power.
Yeah, that's what it is, that power. With that power comes money. She don't want to give it up.
You know what? If I could be 80 years old and drink like she does, like, holy shit.
Come on. Yeah.
And you're still walking?
Yeah. Man. I mean,
oh,
come
my
on.
God. Like, how much adrenochrome has that chick consumed in her life?
That's what I was about
to
say. You know, along with all the wine from the winery, I think she's mixing a little adrenochrome down in there.
Yeah, I think that there's a little aborted adrenochrome in that wine. There's probably a specialty maker of wine just for these elite fucking Satanists.
Of course it is.
Here you go.
Of course it is.
We just rebottle this wine and add some of your favorite ingredients to it and ship it off to
you. Uh-huh. This is a red wine, but it's blue, but, you know, that's fine.
It's more purple.
Got a little,
more purple than it is
right,
red.
Right, yeah, there you go. There you go. Uh-huh, that's it.
Deep burgundy. We'll call it a very deep burgundy wine. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Or scarlet. Scarlet wine. They'll call it scarlet wine.
Oh,
the
I'm
adrenochrome.
Sure she's got
something for it. Adrenochrome, aborted baby blood.
Oh, my God, I know.
Red wine.
It's disgusting.
You know. And you know what happens? It's been documented. It's not a conspiracy theory. This shit happens.
Right,
You know, I mean, there's all kinds of it. You won't find it on YouTube, but you'll find all kinds of documented crazy-ass shit, including CIA-funded. The CIA funded a satanic cult. I was about ready to watch a documentary on it about the CIA-funded cult Satanists, shit like that.
Well, they're all doing it. They're all in it. They're all in it. It's insane, man. It is so insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, and like I said, and sometimes with some of these shows that come out, I'm like, I'm just left wondering. It's like, okay, are they trying to propagandize me into accepting this as normal? Or are they trying to warn me of a truth that they have to masquerade as science fiction in order to be able to tell it? So, I mean, because I fully believe that there are two sectors in Hollywood, which Mel Gibson even alluded to that, where there is a segment of Hollywood that is propagandizing all this evil shit. And Mel Gibson even alluded that there are others that do not agree with it. And that the others doesn't just mean actors. It means screenwriters. It means directors.
Producers
that are like, okay, you know, we can't say this is the truth, but if we put it and make it in the form of science fiction, it's more like a warning, you know?
That upsets, that makes people
think. They're trying to put the message out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make you think.
That's exactly
make you
what's
think
going on.
Like this is a possible truth that they're trying to suppress. And like, you know, and that's where I get back to, you know, like whatever happened, which I think was the mid 1650s, might be the 1550s. You know, like I said, I've been trying to find this fucking documentary that I watched, and it was so good. It was like an hour and 20 minutes long, and it presented so much shit from around the globe to support the idea that there was a major fucking global thing that happened somewhere in the mid-1650s or 1550s, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And, like, and the maps even show it, like, not just, you know, the biggest thing was, like, literally the it's like the Great Lakes weren't even there in these earlier maps based on, like, native tribes and shit and first explorers and crap like that. Mm-hmm. But also elsewhere in the world where there were big anomalies with what the maps prior to that showed and with the maps after to it. And the maps we know today were a combination of the two, just like how when the, you know, just like how the Bible, Bible is not a complete works. If everything that was reviewed by those that came up with the Bible was included, it would be volumes of documents and shit. It wouldn't be one book. It would be fucking volumes. So it was selective what was put into the Bible. And so the premise is here, too, that it, even with the maps that are said to be from that time are actually maps from later times that have been morphed, like combined into these older maps, right?
Yeah.
So they've taken elements of both and combined them into one. And that is their interpretation of these two different things. And then that becomes reality. Like, okay, here's the map, you know?
Yeah, and everybody's like, okay.
This is the official map of the area from, you know, 1681 or whatever. And but yet that map is not just by one person. It is the accumulation of maps that have been submitted and reviewed and put into a way that makes sense, you know, that that is what is validated and what is not. There's a lot that was eliminated from it. And so it's a mess. It's a mesh. It's not one map that one person recorded. No, it is a mesh of all these different map makers all into, that were reviewed and put into this one interpretation of the whole area, no matter what area it is, globally, you know, and that's what happened. And, like, that's what you see now, you know. When we watch stuff on TV, there are fillers, you know what I mean? Like, there are fillers all the time. And even our own brain does it. We have a blind spot in our eyeballs. The back of our eyeballs has a big blind spot, each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And our brain fills in what it thinks is in those blind spots all the time based on everything else around it. So it's just filling the shit in. And so our own eyeballs are an optical illusion in a way because it is our brain filling in these two empty spots that we have in our the back of our eyeballs that doesn't see shit.
Yeah.
We have a field of vision that we cannot see. And you can test that when you get to a certain distance. There's a way you can test that where literally you have like, you draw two dots about, you know, take like an 8.5 by 7 inch, you know, 8 inch paper, normal sheet of paper. And you put a dot, you know, make it about 10 inches apart, one dot one on one side, one dot on the other, draw a straight line, and then a dot exactly in the middle. So you only have three dots with one line. And you hold it apart and you can see all three, you can see all three, you can see all three. And pretty soon when you get it a certain distance, you can't see the dot on the right side or you can't see the dot on the left side. And as you get closer,
yeah.
you can't see the dot in the middle. You know, you're finding your blind spots and your, you know, and your brain is only seeing two of the three dots, you know, and or only one as you get closer and closer. So it's like you can literally find where your blind spots are in your eyeball by doing
yeah.
that. And then realize as you're looking around, your brain is constantly filling in that space that you can't see.
Like they want it
constantly.
To do, like the cabal wants it to do.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing with history. They
mm-hmm.
will filter out the stuff they don't want you to see. And that's why the maps that we rely on, that all these historic maps, those historic maps that are presented to us are nothing but an accumulation of
yeah.
the maps they approved, not all of the maps. And so, like, that's what this documentary was highlighting is, like, there's all these fucking maps from around the world, from around the same time, where bodies of water or bodies of land do
yeah.
not fucking exist now. You know,
right,
they
yeah.
literally do not fucking exist. The Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, none of
oh
them fucking existed. They existed because there was a huge global impact and a lot of people fucking died and the power that be wanted to scrub that event from existence.
Yeah, yeah. Because either so many people died
whatever that
some ungodly reason,
yeah,
you know.
Something happened
yeah.
that they want to fucking hide. And maybe it wasn't natural. Maybe it wasn't a natural thing.
But
maybe,
they still had
maybe
some
that's
kind of
why they
want to
hide it.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be a polar shift. It could be a natural thing like that. To
yeah.
offset, you know, like how, you know, maybe they're lying about how often these polar resets happen. They want us to think
yeah.
that, oh, it only happens every few hundred thousand years where we have a flip. Maybe that's
mm-hmm.
the lie. Maybe it happens a lot fucking sooner than that. Maybe it happens every 2,000 or 3,000 years. And it's
yeah.
just been covered up.
Mm-hmm.
Any history of it has been covered up every time it fucking happens because they don't want
Isn't
people to know how frequently. So long as it's sometime out in the distant future, nobody's going to worry about it. But if they knew that we're on a cycle of, let's say, every 2,000 years or 1,000 years or, heaven forbid, 500 years, every 500 years
yeah.
we go through some huge climactic shift, would they really want people to know about that? Would we be coming
nope.
up to that 500 years to be
Probably.
Due for another shift? Wouldn't they want to hide that? And wouldn't they want to say, oh, that's not going to happen for like thousands and thousands of years later. We don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was something
yeah.
that happened a lot more regularly, every few hundred years, you could see why they might want to cover that up.
Mm-hmm. But either way, they're gonna lie about it. You know, whether it's gonna happen, they're gonna lie. And folks, you know, once they're told something repetitively, you know, hey, that really didn't happen. You know, all those people died. No, that didn't happen.
No.
They're gonna believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been doing. We've been believing everything we've been told, and ain't none of it the fucking truth.
Or, you know, or it's a little bit of truth, and then the rest is
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
come to
yeah.
high hills. You know?
But like
Who
you were talking about
knows?
The maps, you know, the things, the happenings, you know, whether it be from heaven, but from the skies or from under the earth or what weather, whatever, they've been lying this whole time because they've been able to manipulate weather for God knows 80, 90 years now from the late 1800s. So now we're finding this out.
The advances in that. It's all conspiracy theory. Those aren't chemtrails. Those are normal condensation. You're crazy. And it's like, no, they've been studying weather modification since even before Hitler, okay, you guys? Like, they've probably made some fucking advances since then, too. You know?
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
I mean, you think that ever stopped? Of course not, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't think our government would be involved in it?
Of course.
You don't know your fucking history. You know, you trust your government way too much.
Yep.
Shit. Oh, I mean, there's all kinds of craziness. All kinds of fucking craziness. And there was something that I was going to mention, and now I forgot because I'm stoned. I got the stoned short-term memory syndrome, where I think of something 1 minute, and then the next minute it's gone. Like, whoop.
I used to be a heavy smoker in college and the years after, but I got paranoid when I quit because of random drug tests, you know, whether it be from a doctor, whether it be from a job. And I never really started back, but I'm in negotiations now with one of my friends that I'm thinking about starting back.
Well, you know, I gotta say, Oregon's got great shit.
I know. I
Oregon's
wish I
been
could
doing shit right, man. I'm telling you. Did you know, like, our taxes are 23%, but California is 45%, and Washington is 46% tax on it. Yeah, so it's almost like twice as much. It's fucking insane. It's insane. These states are just taxing at the high hilt, and it's like, oh, my God. And meanwhile, we have a surplus of pot. Like, every single Oregonian could start smoking pot, and we would still have enough to supply us for 2 years. We need to be able to export this shit. You know, like, we know how to fucking grow pot here in Oregon. If there's one thing we know how to do, it's fucking grow pot. Really good shit, too. You know, like, my subpar stuff is, like, 28% THC. My top-of-the-line stuff is, like, 32% THC. I keep on reserve. The latest is there's this one farms that always just produces the best shit. And this stuff is called Apple Rock Candy, and it is almost 34% THC. It is like sparkly-ass beautiful buds, and that's like my reserve. Like I keep that aside and just take a little nug off at a time once in a while.
Mix it in as with
my
some mid.
As my special treat. Yeah, you know, and then... And then I have my regular bud that's like 28%, you know, and you know what? Even the top of the line shit, that top of the line ace, when I buy it on their Wednesday special, I always go to the pot store on their Wednesday special for 20% off. So I'll usually get a half an ounce of almost 34% THC top of the line fucking pot. For $36 an ace.
What? Really?
Yeah. Really? Oh, the 20% off plus the discount buying it at a half ounce, I end up getting it for $38 an eighth.
Oh, my God.
And this shit is beautiful. It is fucking beautiful. These buds, like... They're the kind of beautiful buds where you like you almost are hesitant to break off a tip of it or break off a trunk because it's like you're just so beautiful, you know. You're
so
sparkly.
You don't
want to
ruin it.
You're so you're so sparkly and pretty. I hate to even take off a little chunk sometimes. Like that's why I reserve it because. I feel a little bit of loss every time I take away the beauty of that fucking
I know,
bud.
Right?
You know? Like, you were just so perfect, you know? Like, you're the perfect upon perfect. And there was another kind that the same grower made that was called Mach 1. And it was very similar. Like, you know, I got that shit, and I was like, oh, my God. It was another stuff that was like 33.4 something percent THC. And same thing. It was just beautiful. Just beautiful crystal red hair.
Yeah.
You know, just beautiful.
See,
like,
I have a
I hung on to that shit
disorder.
For like 6 months because I only took off a little tiny piece at a time because I was like,
yeah,
it's too pretty. You know?
Hey, am I right about this? I have general anxiety. You know, I've got a lot of other stuff wrong with me, just anxiety-wise. Isn't sativa the type I need to be on?
No, indica. Indica.
Are you sure?
Sativa, yes, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sativa is the right-brained flavor of pot. Think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sativa usually helps increase creativity. It gets that right part of your brain going. And then that's usually where anxiety and paranoia comes from. Indica, on the other hand, is like the left side. And a strong indica is like your sleepy side as well. So it's more of your logical, think about it, and relax, and, you know.
Yeah,
indica is the mellow. Sativa is the more like a lot of artists, a lot of people that work. I know I used to smoke sativa a lot when I was doing websites because the work was so tedious and I had to focus. And kind of be creative, like with coding and doing all that I smoked sativas while I was doing it because then I could like just, you know, my brain was just in that mode, you know, but if you want to relax, if you have anxiety, if you need to have problems sleeping and you need a restful sleep.
Yes,
indica,
I do.
Then you want indica. You want indica.
I had it totally backwards. I mean, even though I haven't bought in a couple years, you know, but still, I'm about to buy something.
And I usually buy some different kinds. Like the kind I told you about is an 80-20 indica dominant. So 80% indica, 20% sativa mix. And so it's a good blend for me because I can relax, but I can still also think. You know, I can still pay attention to a movie or a TV show or a conversation, right?
Yeah, totally. Because
it
totally.
Has just enough, like, relax, you know, but then a little bit of the sativa to, like, you know, keep me aware and keep me, you know, not from, like, falling asleep. So the 80-20 balance is perfect for me in most cases. But then I also have this pure indica that's called Wedding Cake, and that's my sleepy bud. I know if I smoke my wedding cake, I'm going to get tired, and I'm probably going to go to bed within an hour. You know?
right, sure.
Yeah, so that's all you really got to need to remember.
Yeah, I just don't need anything that's going to have my head thinking more than it already does, you know?
Yeah, you want indica. Your indica is going to kind of slow your brain down a bit. Sativa leads to anxiety, even with me, because that's where the paranoia sets in, because it's activating that right part of your brain that's creative, and your creative part of your brain will start getting paranoid and start thinking of all these fucking things that,
to get
you to worry about, and then your, like, heart starts beating, like, oh, fuck, you know.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm never doing this again,
Yeah, sativa will do that to you. Yeah, sativa will do that to you.
Damn, I'm
it
glad
can
I
be
talked
a,
to you.
A blessing and a curse at the same time. Like, if you're awake and you're at a job or something and you're focused, then you don't get paranoid because your brain is already actively engaged in a project, you know? And so, like, that's how it worked for me when I was doing websites and stuff. It's like, I didn't get paranoid because my brain was already busy working on the fucking websites and the coding and the artist, you know, and formatting and doing all the fucking things that need to be done with doing a website that, you know, there is no room for my brain to get paranoid, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But if you want to relax
things
and,
going on.
Yeah, you need a good, strong indica, a nice, good, strong indica with high CBD. You want that blend, you know, get a good blend of high THC, high CBD. Find the highest CBD you can with, you know, that perfect balance. So
hey,
you
know
CBD
what? That's another thing
well.
That nobody knows about that you just mentioned. You obviously know about it. Okay, look. I am a recovering, and of course, don't tell anybody this ever, please, opiate.
Okay,
and, I've been on Suboxone for years. I'm not on it now, but I'm not on pain pills either. But I still have that urge and always will. You know, for opiates.
Like what form of opiates? I mean, that takes, you know, there's
pain
a
pills,
lot of forms of
pills.
Opiates. Pain pills.
Yeah,
okay.
True,
yeah, like
true.
Your Vicodin, your Oxy.
Lorset. Yeah, Oxy, Broxy, whatever, Percocet.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on that forever, and then I was on Suboxone for 7 years, and then I got off. But I've never that craving has always been there. Okay, so I've tried kratom or kratom, whatever you want to call it.
Krotam, K-R-O-T-A-M or something. Krotam,
yeah,
I know what you're talking
yes.
about. I think
but
that's a bunch of hype, actually. What you need is full spectrum. I should send you a link. But it's
that's
unfortunate
what I was
because some forms cannot be shipped. Like CBD, but there's like CBN, there's CBB, there's like all kinds of different cannabinoids, and like I get this 1-to-1-to-1 THC that's full spectrum. You want to find a full spectrum CBD, and if you can get CBN or other forms, THC is banned, but usually you can get CBD in other forms, like, you know, CBN. There's other forms of it. I get a 1-to-1-to-1 of THC, CBN, and CBD oil.
Huh.
And and that gives you, like, each one of them has its own benefits, and it's full spectrum. Full spectrum is a better way of extraction of the oil. So the full spectrum is usually a little more expensive, but it's the better way of doing it, put it that way.
Without
a lot of
that's
additives
what...
and it has a totally different flavor. The stuff I get is from Farmers. Fuck, I need my glasses on. Farmer's Friend here in Oregon. 1-to-1-to-1 CBN, THC, and CBD. But they have different varieties. They have some without any THC. And it's all, the THC is what is, you know, going to make you kind of high from it.
0.06 or 0.6, whatever, THC.
Yeah.
It's like very little.
Yeah,
but
even if you get
there.
Like virtual... Yeah, it's very, very little. You're not going to get high from it. Like, you could take the whole fucking bottle and you're not going to get high from it.
What strength? I mean, I've seen 1,000 on a bottle. I've seen 1,500. I've seen everything up to 3,000. And
the
in my situation,
better.
I believe.
The higher the better, number
high.
One.
Right. Definitely.
Because the higher the better means it'll last longer, basically. If you take, you know, if you take one dropper full of 1500, you're getting half as much as you are a dropper full of 3,000.
Right. And see, I bought the 1500 one time, or two or three times.
And you'll just go through it faster. Yeah.
Nothing.
You'll do two shots instead of one. Yeah.
I was just like, what?
And getting the full spectrum, like I said, it's a better extraction process. And when you get like the one-to-one-to-one, like you get it with, like I said, without THC, but the other cannabinoids that are also beneficial for various reasons, and it's antiviral. I think I might have talked with you about it, but I know I talked about it on my show.
We may have.
There were two different studies that came out from two different, like it was like Johns Hopkins and then here OHSU, Oregon Health Science University. Both of them came out with studies showing how hemp oil extracts, actual hemp extracts, not smoking it, but cannabinoids,